The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with five Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with five Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh. Hey, everybody. Right? The Best Show's back. Back for another Tuesday night installment. We've got a great show for you tonight. We've got Kristen Schaal's going to be on the show later. The phone number, 201-332-3484. We're going to have an exciting episode of The Best Show for you tonight. And I'm looking forward to us getting it started. And one thing I'm also looking forward to is telling you all about the fact that tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Squarespace. And Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer service. Try Squarespace over at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. That's BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Now, here is The Best Show.
Jersey, back again.
How about that, guys? It's the best show. And it's back on another Tuesday night installment. My name is Tom. I'm the host of the show. How we sounding, Mike? Sounds great. Powerful. Mike must want something. I can only imagine what he wants. Gonna get hit up after the show for something. Oh, God knows what I'm gonna get hit up for. Can only wait for the rap that I'm gonna get when the show ends. The pitching will begin. What should be the hashtag for tonight? Last week it was Billy Joel Arsonist, right? Should we do that again? How about I'm going to put it on Twitter right now. You tell me what you think of the looks of this, Mike. I just put it up on Twitter. You like that? Deport Billy Joel. That's the hashtag for tonight, because the way I see it is he's so talented. We as Americans don't have the right to just keep him to ourselves. That's selfish. We should deport him and share him with other countries. That's a nice sentiment, isn't it? Wait, I just figured out how that could be taken two different ways. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't think of it like that. It means like we want to... Somebody might think I'm trying to say we want to get rid of them. That's not what I mean. Oh, no. Well, it's too late. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Can't put toothpaste back in a tube, Mike. Toothpaste don't go back in a tube. Guys, the phone number, 201-332-3484. Everyone should know that is the number. If you wish to call, we got some open lines. You want to get in? Now's your chance. Now's your chance. Open phones. Clear path. Clear path to best show. Infamy, I guess. Immortality. It's not immortal, but the music we just heard, let's talk about that. So much good stuff. So much good stuff. Michael Cronin. From his first album, Is It All Right? Which is on the Trouble in Mind record label. Classic album. I'm going to say it's a modern classic. It's like Shawshank Redemption. Modern classic. Michael Cronin is our Shawshank Redemption. That album. The two albums. The second one on Merge. The first one on Trouble in Mind. Those are the modern classics. Modern. Could you imagine that? Shawshank Redemption. I gotta make it. I can't see it. What's that, Mike? Mike's doing his own thing out there. Good for him. We all need a thing. It's a show within the show. Mike's got his own show going out there. Yeah, so the hashtag, regretfully, is Deport Billy Joel tonight. So I apologize. For anybody who takes that in a way that's meant to sound dismissive of Mr. Joel's talent. Before Michael Cronin, we heard Sick Thoughts. That's a hot single, man. That's hot stuff. Beat on Beat. That is on Goner Records. Sick Thoughts. That's classic. That's classic goner rock, man. I don't even know who's in this band. That's the best thing sometimes. I don't know who's in this thing. I don't know where it came from, what it's about. Just you play this thing, man, that thing gets, you get smashed in the face with that thing. That's what it's all about. That record smashes you in the face. Goner Records. They've yet to drop the ball. And starting us off, X-Hex from their album Rips. We heard New Kid, that's Mary Timoney from, you may know her from Helium or from Wild Flag. Her band now is X-Hex. That is a hot set of music, man. That's hot stuff. You burn your fingers on that set. Oh, the hot phones. Great show tonight. We've got Kristen Schaal from The Last Man on Earth. He's going to be on the program later. And from Bob's Burgers. We'll put a topic up in a little bit. Who's good here, Mike? Four. Mike is saying four is a hot phone. These phones... scares me when they're just flashing like that. All the potential in the world and all of the disappointment in the world staring me right in the face right now. You know, I want to let you know, Sharpling and Worcester, we are doing live shows in the month of March. The two Los Angeles shows sold out. Chicago show, Chicago, sold out. New York show, show number one, sold out. Show number two, sold out. Show number three, sold out. Show number four, not sold out. There's still some tickets. That's for, it's for March 12th. The Bell House in New York City, late show. There's still a few tickets left. It's going to sell out. Don't miss those tickets. I don't want to hear that you didn't get one. Because they're on sale right now. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey there, Thomas.
Oh, good heavens, I know who this is.
Yes.
It's Fredericks from Newport Richey.
Yes. Fredericks,
how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right, Tom.
Now, for people who don't know, this guy...
Because look.
What, you think everybody's supposed to know who you are?
They do, Tom.
No, they don't. Nine people do. I'm talking to all the new people.
I'll just wait over here. Well,
you are going to wait over there. No offense. This is the deal, man.
Yeah.
We need some excitement in the mix here. Some new blood. I want them to know who you are. I want them to be like, oh, I didn't know who that guy was. I don't want to listen to this show.
All right. For the kids.
Yeah, for the kids.
Do it for the kids.
You got some Bob's Burgers fan tuning in because Kristen Schaal's going to be on in a few minutes.
What's Bob's Burgers?
Oh, God. That's exactly why I'm going to tell everybody who you are. What's Bob's Burgers?
I'm an old man that doesn't know who Bob's Burgers is. Is that a person or a TV show?
You're so close.
It's a movie.
Oh, God. It's a TV show, Fredericks. So anyway, this guy is from the fine state of Florida, and he's from a town called Newport Richey.
Yay.
And it's like a madhouse down there. It's the city.
It is.
It's the city that Gummo was based on. If anybody saw Gummo, but then they filmed it, and the people from Newport Richey sued Harmony Korine because the movie was too tame. the movie did not, they felt it did not capture Newport Richie. They felt it was just too soft, and they distanced themselves from it.
Right. Move it to Ohio.
They moved it to Ohio. They changed it. It was originally called Newport Richie.
Port of Call.
Port of Call, yeah. Gummo 2, Port of Call, Newport Richie.
Oh, Tom just totally sidetracked me.
So his name is Fredericks. He's the kind of guy, if you've ever wondered whether that guy who's staring at you in the Golden Corral is going to leave a $100 tip for the wait service, or if he's going to take off all his clothes and jump into the chocolate wonderfall. That's this guy, Fredericks.
So
what's up, Fredericks?
Hi, Tom.
What's up tonight?
How'd I get here?
How'd you get here?
Never mind. That's not your problem.
Yeah.
Can we get on to something important? That was a hell of a story, but I couldn't take it anymore.
All right. Let's hear. Let's get to the meat of the subject here. What do you want to talk about?
Is something important?
Your idea of important, or like other people on Earth's idea of important?
Other people.
Okay, you've intrigued me.
Let's. Measles.
What's that?
Measles.
The measles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think rather than spending all your time disparaging Billy Joel, perhaps Jenny McCarthy deserves more bad hashtags, however that affects people in real life. But, you know, that whole measles thing, it's all the rich people that don't have to worry about being exposed until they get exposed. And they don't care about anybody else. Am I bringing you down?
A little bit. Yeah, that's kind of... You've heard the show before. Look, this is a valid subject to talk about. I'm trying to start the program off on a... It's supposed to be a fun show.
All right.
Look, there's 8 million other places you can debate and make every point you ever want to make with any subject ever. I'm trying to just have fun, and I'm not trying to discount your point. I just want to have fun. I don't want to turn it into...
Girls just want to have fun.
Oh, goodbye. 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 This guy, he never heard the show before. Measles. Yeah. Doesn't understand. Doesn't understand. It's a comedy show. Sorry. Oh, that just took all the wind out of my sails. I'm going home. Mike, shovel my car out. You should have said it took me 2.5 hours to get here. Yeah. A week ago, I put a letter online saying, yeah, I might not, I'm going to reserve the right to take shows off because I'm dealing with stuff. 1 week later, 2.5 hours in my car to get here. I've got the balance figured out. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Danny in Brooklyn.
Danny in Brooklyn. What's up, Danny?
Not much. I just got tickets to the March 12th show.
Great. That's a great move.
It was. I forgot I got a gift card for Christmas, and it was like God himself was smiling at me.
Yeah. Providence shone upon you.
It did. Thank you, Tom.
And now you're going to see the funniest live show that has ever happened.
I don't doubt it. I know you're going to pull all the stops out for the last one.
We'll see. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Of course.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at the Bell House next week. So everybody, come on out. We got there's four shows. Three of them are sold out, and one of them still has tickets available. So go pick up your ticket. You did.
I agree. I co-signed. Yeah.
What's going on tonight, Danny? Anything?
I'm gonna do an open mic in a couple hours. My first one in a while. I'm kind of nervous.
Open mic. Where are you doing an open mic?
In Queens at the Creek in the Cave.
That's a fun. That's a nice place.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think you're gonna do great. Who else is on this? Is this just open mic? You don't know who else is there?
Yeah, I have no idea. My friend and I. So my friend Andrea will be there. I know that for sure. She's wonderful.
Well, look, you go there. You do your thing. What's your thing involve? Props. Piano.
It's all props. I'm entirely prop. No words at all. So
play a harp on stage. You play a harp. Why don't you get a harp?
I do have a harp. It's a bummer on the subway, but it kills. Okay. In the basement at the Creek in the Cave.
Why don't you get a harp and then like a little harp, like a mini.
Like a mouth harp?
What's that?
Like a mouth harp?
Yes, a mouth harp. Get a mouth harp and do Robert Klein, I Can't Stop My Leg. Do that.
I will learn what that is and then I will faithfully recreate it.
Oh, that you.
I'm sorry.
Wait, you don't know what that is? You've got a future ahead of you, young man. Get ready to spend the night just going down a YouTube hole, watching Robert Klein footage. Oh, it's a party coming down the pike for you.
I'm excited because this means I haven't peaked yet. Life can only get better from this moment.
Life can only get better. I hear you. I'm with you. Can only get better. Look, buddy.
I'm with you too. We're going to make it together. Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, let's not push it. Make it together. All right. Click it down a notch. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello. This is not Tom, is it?
It is Tom.
Hey, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
I am calling to tell my celebrity mishap story.
All right, let's hear it.
Mike Gordon of Phish was at... You're going to love this because it involves multiple bands you lampoon. So, and I love. But anyway, Mike Gordon of Phish was at a Humphreys McGee show. And my friend and I spotted him, and they have these weird casket things off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And... he was chilling in one of those, and I'm like, oh, cool, Mike Gordon. I'll go say something really smart to him.
Wait, he was chilling in a what? What was he, a casket?
Right. So they have these – they renovated since I moved from there. It's in Philadelphia, the Electric Factory, and they used to have these things that were slanted on the side of the walls, and they looked like caskets because they were kind of, like, enclosed on all sides, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was in one of those, and I'm like, okay, what can I say to this guy? It's a small venue. I'm sure I'll be seeing him later. And I had all this time to plan, and eventually he's standing nearby me, and I go up to him and say, hey, Mike, I'm a big fan of your work, and then follow that with, would you like to play chess?
You asked him at a rock club. You asked the bass player, the Segway enthusiast, Mike Gordon from the band
Segway
Fish.
The Segway enthusiast, yes.
Whether he wanted to, whether he wanted to play chess, where, in the club?
That was precisely his thought after I had said it and realized, yeah, where are we going to play that? He just leans right back in my ear. Where are we going to play this?
Mm-hmm. He said that?
Touche.
He said that to you.
He said, yeah, where are we going to play this?
You want
to
know and what?
I'm like,
you got a better shake from that dude than you deserved. That's a dumb question.
Play chess. It's one of my shining moments, for sure.
Wow.
And then followed up to point out obscure songs he didn't even remember recording, saying that I love them. So, you know.
Yeah.
Foot in the mouth.
That happens, man.
Toothpaste out of the tube kind of thing.
It happens. Sometimes you say the wrong thing to Mike Gordon. Sometimes you get hung up on. That's how it goes, man. There's the crack of the beer. AP Mike is in the game. Guys, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you something. I know a lot of you guys are all, we got a lot of creative types out there listening to the show, and you all have things you want to do and make or say or sell even. You know, one of the trickiest parts of this whole thing, getting your voice out there to the world on the web, is the tech part of it. Look, I have no idea how to do this stuff. I still have no idea how to post a picture on my own message board. I don't know how to post a picture. It's pretty shameful at this point how bad I am. But look, I got ideas. That's the conundrum now. How do you get your ideas out there? Well, thankfully, people like us have Squarespace in our corner to help us out. Squarespace makes it easy to build a beautiful website without breaking a sweat. They provide simple, powerful, and beautiful website templates for you to work with. And those templates are part of Squarespace's responsive design, which means your website scales to look great on any device. And every website you build with Squarespace comes with a free online store if you want it. So that way you can sell the thing that you make and get it out to people and they can buy it. But if you just want something simple, you just want a basic site, then you use Squarespace's cover page feature, which lets you put up a beautiful one-page online presence in a matter of minutes. They give you 24/7 online customer support and a beautiful website for only $8 a month. So cut yourself some slack. Stop struggling, trying to do everything yourself. Start a trial with Squarespace. No credit card required. You can start building that website today. When you go over, be sure to use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase over at squarespace.com. That's how you show your support for the best show. Over at squarespace.com, your first purchase, you enter in BESTSHOW. Use that offer code and you will get 10% off on your first purchase. And we thank Squarespace for sponsoring the best show and supporting the best show. And we appreciate it. And I tell you that Squarespace, build it beautiful. Now, guys, I'm going to go to the phones right now. I'm told.
Squarespace.
Oh.
Build it beautiful.
All right. I'm being told that I'm done talking to Riff Raff for the time being.
Can you? Is this you?
That's me. You're talking to me. I think you need to turn that down, whatever you
can. I turned it off.
You turned it off?
I thought you were reading the ad. I guess you pre-recorded that.
No, I did read it. That was a live read.
What's happening?
What is that? Was a live read, Kristen Shaw. How are you?
Wait, am I on the air now?
You are. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Oh. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. There must be a delay in my internet stream. You really nailed that ad read, by the way. I bought all the thing that you were selling. What, squares? I bought all the squares.
You bought all the squares. Thank you.
Yeah.
There are none left, everybody. There are no squares left. Kristen Shaw bought all of them.
Also, I was listening to you tell the young man from Brooklyn who's going to do an open mic at
Creek and Cave.
Cave. You basically were selling him Joanna Newsom's act. I don't know if that was good advice.
For him to bring a harp on stage?
Yeah.
But she doesn't play a harmonica also.
A couple harps. Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
So she plays harmonica and harp. Does she have, like, the Bob Dylan harmonica bracket?
Yeah, sometimes she gets so into it, she with the harmonica in her mouth, she starts, like, just running it across the harp.
All right. See, I don't know this stuff. I don't know.
No, I haven't.
You made that. That sounds...
I have never been to her concert, but that would be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome. If you went to see Joanna Newsom... And she was playing her big harp, and all of a sudden, she reached in her pocket and pulled out a little harmonica and started playing both of them at the same time.
Yeah. And then, but then took her the harmonica in her mouth and got and just started running her face, her harmonica face, up and down the harp.
Yeah, and then like she would probably start bleeding because I'm sure those strings are thick.
Yeah, and that's how you know you've made a real good show.
It's like unless
you bleed.
Yeah, unless you see her, unless she, if she's not bleeding, you didn't get a good Joanna Newsom concert.
Yeah, you didn't have Joanna blood speckles like on some part of you, then you didn't see her perform. You saw her phone. Yeah,
exactly. She phoned it in that night.
Yeah.
Now speaking of phoning it in, Kristen Shaw, you have phoned in to this show. This is the first time you've been on the show.
That's too bad. I'm sorry about that.
No. It finally happened. I've had Kurt on a whole bunch of times. Your comedy partner, Kurt Brownoler.
Mm-hmm. The best.
He is the best.
He is the best. And I wanted to, I guess, I personally apologize for intercepting your phone call with Jason Wallner the other night. That was in poor taste, but I got so excited.
It was funny.
When your name popped up.
Yeah, I was calling Jason Walliner.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
And then all of a sudden I heard you screaming in the phone, and I couldn't make out what you were saying, but I just heard screaming.
I think I wasn't saying any words. I was screaming. Yes. I was in trouble.
Well, look, you had good reason to scream on Sunday night. Because Sunday night was the premiere of the show, The Last Man on Earth, which you are not the last man on earth on the show. You are the, you, it says two on the call sheet with your name, right?
I'm number two on the call sheet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So look, Will Forte is the last man on earth, but then you are the last woman on earth. Mm-hmm. And you're on the show, and the show's so great. It really is. I was so excited watching the show. I was like, this is so good. And then, like, the next day I was like, let me go check online and see. Clearly there's no way anybody could have watched it if I liked
it
that much. But then I looked, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, everybody watched it. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe that. Wasn't it?
I was in your boat, Tom. I was like, and that was a real fun time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even want to look at the Internet, and I made myself not look at the Internet for 15 seconds. And because I'm a junkie on it. But it was good news. It was fine. It was a perfectly fine breakfast. I was happy. Yeah.
It did, a lot of people, because look, everybody likes the quality wise, everybody's like, this show's great. And everybody's great on it. But then it's like, all of a sudden, like, it got real ratings. I was like, oh, finally, something like intersects that I like that's not just going to go fade away into the distance.
Yeah. Did you feel kind of patriotic, maybe? A little bit.
I felt a little patriotic. The idea that America signed off on The Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
So, you started on this, you guys have done a bunch of these now, right? How many did you film of the show?
We shot 13, and the last day of filming was last Monday. And you were thinking, I don't know if this is that interesting, but you directed a couple incredible real estate videos.
I did.
They're amazing. And that album, this is maybe boring, but I listened to that album nonstop working on the show. I don't know why, but it was just the perfect album for me for the show. It's a great album.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
Yeah,
that's,
especially that's... Crime. The Crime is, I just would just hit that on repeat over and over. But that video is good. Do your listeners know that you direct music videos?
Do these people listening know?
Yeah.
They know. They know. They, look, they don't, the audience, they, there's good people listening to this show. They pay attention. they follow what's going on. So you're doing this show, and now you're also, yeah. You have Bob's Burgers, so you are like the emperor of Fox now, pretty much. Like, you're just like, you're the center point of all these things, of the Sunday night lineup.
Well, I guess so. I wouldn't say the center point, but I'm spoiled rotten by Fox at this. Yeah, jeez. I was embarrassed when they said the show would be on Sunday night, actually. Because I was just like, people are going to be burnt the F out. Let's spread it around.
They're going to be, you're worried they're going to be shawled out.
Yeah.
No.
But they're not. It's just, one is a cartoon and one is live action, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, no, please. People can hardly get their fill of you. They're not going to get sick of you.
Thank you. You're hired.
They want... People are watching 800 episodes of Family Guy. I think they can hang with you doing a couple things.
That's true. You're right.
So when you start on a show like this, when you start on something that's like new... And it's kind of different like that. What is that like for you to like, are you just going into it like, hey, whatever happens, let's just see where we go? And, or are you just like trying to figure it out ahead of time? And you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, like, I had a lot of time before we started filming because I knew I was doing a show like around this time at the end of February. And we didn't start shooting until, you know, September, October.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of time to figure out, like, what the character was like, I guess. But then also, yeah, you're just sort of blind about it. Like, a couple times the directors would be like, we could pan up or we could do this, but I just don't know, like, what's the tone of, I don't know what the show is. And I would be like, neither do we!
So everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, Is this the show?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Will and Phil and Chris had a very, like, Will had a very singular, he knew exactly what the show is and what the tone it was supposed to be. And, you know, and he was very diligent about making sure all the details were in place.
Mm-hmm.
But it still is sort of like, you know, you learn as you go. I think you just don't know exactly, like, you know, that's what's fun about it. You don't know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. And you make them and they're kind of in a vacuum because it's like you're done shooting them before anybody sees them. It's not like you're getting feedback from people it's not like you're on the set this week now knowing that everybody loved the show and stuff. You guys did that in a bubble.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the ultimate treat, is just to get to create something with nobody judging it or even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was great. Like, I didn't have to come to work and be like, the internet hates Carol. And then, like, go and, like, try to put on a happy face. Like, I could just, nobody knew about it. It was great. It was so fun that it was almost like, and making the show was, like, the absolute dream job for me. That I honestly was like, kind of like, oh, do we have to share it? Can this just be for us?
Uh-huh.
But I guess they want that money, so.
I get at some point it can't just be, yeah, I guess that's why at some point you can't just film it and then watch it at home. They're going to want other people to see it.
Apparently, I didn't realize that was
part of it. It's kind of the way it's kind of a money deal, the whole thing.
It is. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's generally how this whole thing shakes out. Because, you know,
do you ever have projects like that, though, that you had so much fun making and that you loved so much that you just, like, didn't really want to set them free to the world? Like, you just wanted to put them in a tiny little little box with a lock under your bed and be like, this is really good and it's all mine.
Kristen, I don't have the opportunity. I can't. The people don't want what I'm doing.
I don't have.
People come down to my neighborhood. It's like they're slumming. They come down to my neighborhood. They're slumming. Then they go back home to their mansion. Then they go back home. They come out. They hang with Tom. They come down and hang with Tom. It's like they go see their old high school buddy who they have a good time with. But then there's just like, yeah, we saw enough of him. Let's go back to our mansions now with all the other successful people. So I don't have the luxury of putting things in a box under my bed. I have to show everybody. Everybody's got to see everything I make. I need everyone to see everything.
Well, that's the right attitude in general. That's why you make stuff. But I mean, you're the real deal, Sharpie. You're an artist. And you've got to accept that.
I've got to accept that I'm an artist. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I accept
it. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's uncomfortable.
That's crazy. You're an artist, Kristen Schaal. You have done so many things. You started, when did you come to New York? When did you first move?
2000.
Okay. And you grew up in?
Colorado.
In Colorado, yeah. And you had a pretty rural life comparatively, right? Like.
Yeah, like we had cows and there was a big field behind us and no sidewalks. No cement to roller skate around on.
Yeah, and did you go, like, when you went to the movies, how far away was the movie theater?
Oh, it was probably like a 9-minute drive.
Oh, well, that's not bad. That's actually not bad. It's 9 minutes away. That's better than.
Oh, yeah, the town was really close.
Yeah, so. So it was just cows and a movie theater.
And a mall. We had the Twin Peaks Fashion Mall. That was pretty important to me.
Uh-huh. What was your favorite store in the Twin Peaks Fashion Mall?
Oh, the Walden books, because I love those Christopher Pike novels, which are like R.L. Stine, but not as popular. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same.
Now, were you the kind of kid that carried a book around all the time?
Oh, good question. No, I don't think so. I wasn't nose deep in books. I was definitely a real, chatty Cathy. Were you? Were you like a book guy?
Yeah, I carried books around and would kind of hide, like just always have a book on me. But then, what's funny about that now is like when I see a kid now who's like holding a book when he's out with his family or her family, then it's like, oh, that kid is like, I understand that kid. But then if books are being replaced by Kindles and things like that, or iPads, it's like, you see a kid with that, it doesn't mean they got a book on there. Think of the dumbest thing you've ever seen could be on that Kindle. It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. They could just be like looking at the internet on their iPhone without reading a book on it.
Yeah. It's hard to spot those kids now. So it's
right. It's
a little weird because they used to just, it was like a habit to always have a book with me. I never read it. I don't think I ever read it. What was I going to like tell my family while we're all eating at Sizzler that I'm just going to read this book now? No. They didn't want that. So when you came to New York, what brought you to New York, Kristen?
Oh, the bright lights. I wanted to make it big. I did. I saw the movie Muppets Take Manhattan at that movie theater in Longmont, and I was like, I'm sold. This looks like a great place to go. I'd never been there before.
Uh-huh.
Like, never vacationed as a family. So, yeah, I just sort of showed up. And tried to be an actress, and that didn't work out. So then I did some open mics, just like that Brooklyn gentleman. I forget his name, Danny or something. Yeah, and that was my life. What he's doing was my life for years.
Just working all the shows. Did you do Did you do stuff at Eating It? Did you catch, was that right
Eating
before?
It, I worked up to. When I first got to New York, it was so depressing, and I happened to find the Eating It show at Luna Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and Marc Maron, of course, was hosting. Jean Grofflo was there. Eugene, actually, was doing stuff. And, and John Glazer and John Benjamin were doing things together, and the whole crew, David Cross was around, and I was just like, I would go every Monday night, and I would pay the $7, and I would get the free drink.
Yeah.
It was a great deal.
The ticket.
Stand in the back for 2 years, and I didn't talk to anybody. I would just go stand quietly, study it, and then leave. And then I finally got the guts to give Jeff Singer a tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on, and I only ended up doing Eating It two or three times, but I got to do the last Eating It show.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's, you know who, I had the, except for the performing part, I had the exact same experience with Eating It, where I would go. Sometimes I would go with a couple of my friends. Sometimes I'd go by myself. But I would go in, have my free drink, ticket, and I would stand there, and I talked to nobody for the longest time. I was terrified being there. Because for people who don't know, this Eating It was this show on Ludlow, down in the Lower East Side, is that what you call that?
Yeah, by Cap's Deli, a couple doors down from Cap's Deli.
Yeah, so it's right around the corner from Cap's Deli, when Harry Met Sally, the scene with Meg Ryan.
Coming all over the food.
Yes, yes, that scene. But it was this show where you'd go on a Monday night. You didn't know, for the longest time, they never told anybody who was on any of the bills. You would just show up and you'd go there, and you would just watch whoever was on the thing. And it really was like Marc Maron was there every week, and it was like watching him just from change from week to week. You could seeing him do that was like the first person I saw. I was like, wow, you can do things like this, and you don't have to just be up there in a good mood or just doing your act or things like that. Like, there'd be weeks where he'd be working jokes out, and there'd be other weeks where he was not in a good mood, and he would do that. And it's like, oh, all of these are valid. He was the first person I figured that out from. It's just like, you don't have to be one way. Like, it doesn't have to just be pro when you're up there. But yeah, and everybody was there, and that's where I saw John Benjamin do stuff, and John Glazer and Sam Cedar, and
oh yeah,
all those guys. Yeah.
We were probably standing next to each other.
We probably were, and then you'd see like Janine Garofalo go there, and it's like, oh my god, it's a famous person is in the.
I know.
Like I could not believe how it was to actually see actual famous people in a room that held like 100.
Oh, a tiny room.
Yeah. Because it was just it was like an afterthought of a room.
Mm-hmm.
And
it got so big, they had to put a TV out in the bar area, mm-hmm. I remember. It just got so popular.
Yeah, because they just could not fit everybody into the club, but they wanted to shut the doors so it wouldn't make noise. So they ran a TV out there. That's when that was for the people who didn't know how to do it right. I looked at them as like the suckers. Like, you can't show up at 7 o'clock and expect to get in the room.
You show up, get in line, and you don't talk to your head down.
Yeah, keep your head down, have your cash in hand, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from that show. I remember Marc Maron specifically also because he was just so raw up there and I'd never seen anything like it before. I mean, I was still learning about stand-up coming from Colorado, but it was like, mm-hmm. holy shit, this guy, what? He was like sitting on a stool, just like throw it in motion.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was great, and it just, that was, that was such a formative thing for me, and it's exciting to know that that meant a lot to you too, because that really that shaped so much of what I tried to do. And finally, talking to people, it's so funny that you finally at some point you just have to say something to someone when you're there. And it's like, I think Andy Blitz was the first person I said something to. So
Blitz. Blitz did this thing. I have a problem too where I remember interesting sets that none of the other comedians do. And I remember the set that Galifianakis did. Mm-hmm. And I keep describing it to him every time I see him. He did it at Largo in L.A. in, 2004 or something. He's like, I don't remember. I was like, but then you pulled out that rubber dildo. And he's like, mm-hmm. I don't. And Blitz had this thing that he... It's still. He talked about a sitcom he was trying to sell, and he laid out the premise, and it was a man stuck in a piano. He doesn't remember it, but I still do.
Yeah, that's like tattooed on your brain now. But he's just like, what? Oh, I don't know. Is that me? That might not have been me. But now you must have things like that that people saw you do at Hot Tub. Because you and Kurt Brownell have been doing this show for... How long have you guys been doing Hot Tub?
10 years, Tom.
10 years. And you moved... You actually moved it from one end of the country to the other.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great? I'm so happy that happened.
Yeah. Because that was... Because you guys were both here. And then who moved to L.A. first? You moved to L.A. first.
I did, obviously, yeah.
And then I remember Kurt saying... That he was gonna do both.
He couldn't live without me.
He could not live without you. But he had this thing where he said, "I'll do like winters in L.A. and then I'll come back." It's like, no, you're not. Nobody ever comes back. Like, you're not coming back. And then he comes back for work and stuff. But you have to have like $50 million to be able to like split your life between two coasts.
Yes, that is so true. That's always been, I think that's part of the reason why he and I stayed for so long, too, is there got a point where neither of us were, there wasn't a ton of work for us to do in New York, but we just loved the city so much. And then it was just like, well, we buy coastal, and it's like, it's like the top of the 1% of people in America can do that.
Yeah.
Can like afford an apartment in New York and a place in LA. Who can do that?
Exactly. I'm not Lorne Michaels. I can't swing.
Right.
I can't swing that. But he can swing. Maybe someday Kurt will. You'll get there. In like 2 years, I don't know why I'm even saying this to you. In 2 years, you're going to be swinging that.
You think so, Tom?
Yes, with all this.
Oh my
God. All this last man on earth money.
That last man money's gonna come in. I'm gonna buy you a brand new art warehouse.
Okay, I can't. I can't wait. So what? So you have two. You have Bob's Burgers. Is where is that at now? Is that back now? Is it coming back? Where is it in the run?
It's back. I think we're on season 5.
Okay.
But the seasons are all weird. Seasons were weird because sometimes they, at the beginning, they were a little shaky about us, so they would order 9. And then that was like a season. So I'm always confused about what season it is.
Yeah, what constitutes a season. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
As long as they just keep... As long as they don't shut the door, that's all that matters. You call it whatever you want to call it. Just don't shut the door.
Let them keep drawing Bob and Linda. You know, let them keep drawing it.
Exactly. So what else do you have for 2015? Anything exciting here? You have, I don't even know how you could fit anything else. You have Last Man on Earth. You have Bob's Burgers. You have Hot Tub.
I have a good Hot Tub brunch. Well, Bob's Burgers is going on tour in a couple weeks along to Minneapolis, Chicago. Sold out. Sold out. New York, Boston. So that's coming up in March. And then I'm going to a wedding in April. I'm looking at my calendar. Oh. You know, Easter.
Well, this wedding is not a. There is the wedding sold out?
I think the wedding sold out, to be honest.
Okay.
I think it was oversold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Standing room only.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But I don't have. It's pretty open, you know, just like, I'm back to usual now where things are, woo! So I'm looking through the calendar, Tom, and it is, it's got a lot of numbers where the days are, and then a lot of, but Mondays are full for hot tubs. Okay. Every Monday night I got a hot tub show, so
yeah.
That's good.
All right, well, it's gonna, look, there's enough. These people, what more do they want from you? You give them, exactly, right? Now, Kristen Shaw, I'm going to ask you some rapid-fire questions, and then I will let you go on with the rest of your evening.
But maybe we'll be able to have more conversations down the road because I really enjoy this.
You can call anytime you want.
Oh, that's right. I got the number now.
You do. You have the number. You call me anytime you want, Kristen.
Like that Frederick's guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're just like, yeah. I hope this Bob's Burgers tour is not going to Newport Richey. That's all I hope.
I don't think so. I don't think we sold very many tickets there.
For the Newport Richey show? No.
Yeah.
But you can call anytime you want. You are awesome, and I've been such a huge fan of yours forever. And
vice versa, Sharpling.
No.
Vice mother effing versa.
You hear that, Mike? See? I get no... You know what's ironic, though, is that you are on Bob's Burgers and The Last Man on Earth, but I am the last man on Earth to apparently do a voice on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, wait, are you saying you're going to?
No, I'm saying no. Apparently everyone else on Earth is going to do one before I do.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that that's true.
Well, no, it is true. Don't worry, it is true. Everyone else is going to do one before I do. Don't look. I'm not tap dancing for work right now. No, I take that back. Strike that from the record. Now we're going to go to the rapid fire questions. I'm not begging for work.
I'm not going to work.
Sure, Andy Kindler. Look, Andy Kindler. Of course, let Andy Kindler do this. 12 voices on the show. Of course, Andy Kindler. You got to let John Benjamin has to do kid number 4. Of course, you can't let.
Yeah,
no,
you're totally right. You got Bobby Tisdale on there.
Got Bob, yeah.
Like, where's the Sharpling?
Yeah, exactly, Sam right. Cedar. It's like, yeah. It's neither here nor there. Here are the rapid-fire questions.
Okay, here we go.
And this is going to be a staple of the show now, these rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
Here we go.
To get people hooked.
Ten rapid-fire questions. Number one, what's the dumbest purchase you've ever made?
Anything clothing-wise on the internet.
Okay, anything clothing-wise. All right. Question number two, would you push Eric Clapton out of a hot air balloon, or would you launch him into space?
He's going to die. Is he coming back from space? How high up is the hot air balloon? Is death involved?
How high up would you want the hot air balloon to be, though? Do you want to roll an ankle?
If it just started a little, like, it was like, oh, it's like 3 feet off the ground. I'm like, yeah,
I'm going out then. Okay, yeah. So I have a hot air balloon 3 feet off the ground. What is
but
the most?
If you put him in his face, he's not, you know, he'll die up there unless you tell me he can come back.
Yeah, no, then he's gone. He's gone if we shoot him into space.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Question three, what's the most popular movie you've never seen?
Popular movie that I've never seen. I know the most popular movie that I hate that I have seen.
What's that?
There Will Be Blood. I am not a fan. I'm the only one. Popular movie that I've never seen. Well, popular movie that I've never... this is tough. I saw that. What's a popular...
I've never movie? Seen... Look, I've never seen Titanic.
Oh, I saw it 4 times in the theater.
Okay.
It was so good.
That's what I hear. I hear it's pretty good.
What about Gladiator? I've never seen Gladiator.
Okay, that's a popular movie.
It won an Oscar.
It did? Yeah, all right. So Gladiator.
Yeah.
Let's see. What is the longest you've ever gone without sleeping?
Maybe like 14 hours.
Wow, okay. That's.
I gotta sleep. It doesn't matter. Got to.
If you were on the run, where would you hide?
I'm sorry. I'm really taking my time with this rapid part. I would hide, if I was on the run, I guess I would hide in the well of a tire well.
Okay, a tire well. All right. Let's see. Enough with this nerd stuff, right?
No, I love the nerds.
Okay, all right. Okay. What makes you sad?
Probably just a weird melancholy feeling when the day slows down and it's like 4 o'clock and you haven't accomplished anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like so 4 o'clock.
Okay.
4 or 5 o'clock almost every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't get their just desserts?
Who doesn't get their just desserts? Oh, Tom Sharpling.
Oh! Final one. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity?
Oh, that's easy. This is the longer answer, but I met Karen O
mm-hmm.
from Yeah Yeah Yes, and I'm such a big fan, and she was friends with David Cross, I guess, and we were doing a show, and all of a sudden I'm on a bar. I'm setting it up like, what were you doing there? Why were you even talking to her? Well, you know, it was a comfortable environment to talk, and she was just chatting about something, but I knew everything about her. So she was like, said something about college. And I'm like, but that's before or after you transferred to Overland or something. And it was so, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a little awkward. And I wanted to die.
Oh, I know that feeling. Well, Kristen Schaal, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Everybody's, the Last Man on Earth is so great. And it's on It's on Sunday nights.
At 9:30 on Fox.
And
watch. I know you all got your Walking Dead. I know Walking Dead. But maybe you could give a little comedy show that could a chance.
Exactly. And when Bob's Burgers is also on Sunday nights on Fox.
At 7:30. I'm not worried about Bob. Bob's is a built-in audience. But yeah, please watch Bob too, because it's It's a quality show. It won an Emmy. I mean, it won an Emmy. So, if you're into that.
If you're into awards.
Yeah, if those matter to you,
yeah.
Well, we got one. So.
It's Emmy Award winning. Well, Kristen, thank you so much. And you call anytime you want.
I will, and have a great night. And you're the best, and I'm a big fan, and you're an artist, and you better have a good night now.
Oh, all right. Now I will.
Okay.
I appreciate
bye,
it.
Dad.
Bye. You like that, Mike? See? We got stuff going on here. What's that? Who's candid? She was candid. No, she's awesome. That was great. Kristen Schaal. All right. Who's good here, Mike? One? I'm going with three. I don't trust. You're off tonight. I don't trust Mike. Best Show, you're on the air.
Huh? Tom?
Yeah.
Hey. Man, I'm so happy to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was so nervous that I forgot Mike's name when he picked up. So thank mm-hmm. you, Mike, for putting me through, too. That
yeah, Mike.
Alex.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
So what's up tonight, Alex?
Well, I had something from the things you wish you could take back.
Yeah, well, that was a topic we had on the table a couple weeks ago, things you wish you could take back. What do you, Alex, where are you calling from, Alex?
Sunset Park.
From Sunset Park. I'm assuming that's in California?
No, in Brooklyn.
What the kind? There's no neighborhood called Sunset Park. Sounds like somebody tricked you.
No.
Sunset Park. Where's that? That sounds like that thing a realtor makes up.
Well, we have a thing in Sunset Park. I do have some availabilities in Sunset Park.
And then you're just like rolling in off the turnip truck. You got something in Sunset Park? Yeah, sign me up.
They said it was South Williamsburg.
South. That's even dumber than South Williamsburg. Sunset Park. Oh, my goodness. I hope you don't think that's a real thing.
I don't know.
Sunset Park. So, okay, tell me, what's in Sunset? What's the biggest thing in Sunset Park now?
Well, there's really nothing. That's the only place I can afford to live in Brooklyn anymore, so I'm out here.
You sure it's not just like a parking lot or something? Like, it's not just like, are there a lot of like U-Haul vans around you? Where, I don't know what Sunset Park. That, I think you got ripped off, my friend.
It's between Park Slope and Coney Island.
Yeah, that's like.
I know.
All right, look. God bless you. I hope you're having the time of your life out there in Sunset Park.
Thank you.
What's cooking?
Okay, so do you want to hear my things you wish you could take back?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know one thing you would want to take back is saying yes to that realtor.
The Sunset Park.
Yeah, when the realtor said, I have a place in Sunset Park. And then you were like, yup.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So, go ahead. What do you wish you could take back?
Okay, well, in Sunset Park, there's a strip club. And I don't go to strip clubs ever, but I got dragged there one night by a couple friends. Mm-hmm. We thought it would be fun. Mm-hmm. So get in there and it's...
When you say friends, is this friend like... Is this like friend the way like the friend you see in the mirror friend? Like that kind of like, we should go to a strip club tonight. Yeah, great idea, friend. Is that what it is? A little weird? Talking to yourself?
Yeah.
Let's go. You look in the mirror, you see AP Mike looking back at you. Apparently by the voice I'm doing. So, okay, so you go to a strip club.
Yeah. And I go in there. Well, should I preface by saying we were kind of partaking a little bit?
Of what?
In like the wacky tobacco.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I don't know.
I don't like this story, Ray. But go ahead. I'm going to let it proceed. I'm going to let this story goes forward because I want it to be an indictment on you. Okay. The only reason I'm letting the story go forward. This is you're going to hoist yourself by your own petard with this one.
Okay. So I go in there, and it's super awkward, and I feel like every eye is on me, and I'm sitting there just trying to drink a $8 Heineken, and the stripper comes up, and she's next to me, and she's getting closer, and it's so awkward. And she says, "Hey, what's going on?" And my friends go, talk to her. And I say, what do you think happens to you when you die?
All right, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You.
I didn't know what to say.
Okay, well, look, I was reading. Can I rent you some property in North Williamsburg? It's actually, an ice flow out in the Hudson with a mini fridge on it and, like a dorm couch.
I was reading a book on near-death experiences.
You going to the Bell House? See us live?
I really want to. Are there tickets still available?
There's tickets for the fourth show.
I will be there.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
All right. How are you? Thank you.
Goodbye. This guy. Oh, guys, drive me nuts. That's a low quality call, Mike. No, I'm not saying you were responsible for that, Mike. I'm just saying that guy. That's a 5-star flop. That guy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Doing all right. Who's this?
This is Harry Charles calling from Madison.
What's going on, Harry?
Not much. I have a Kristen Shaw story that I am kind of embarrassed about. A couple years ago, she went on tour with John Hodgman and Eugene Merman, and they were coming to Milwaukee, and I saw an old friend of mine on Facebook put, "Hey, I've got an extra ticket to the show if anybody wants to go." And I immediately was like, "Yeah, I'd love to." And we didn't really confer back and forth anything after that. And I thought, okay, I can go to Milwaukee. I live in Madison. I can go to Milwaukee and meet my sister, hang out with her new baby, who I haven't seen that much, and spend a whole good day, and then see the show at night. So I spent the day with her and her son, Wesley. We went to an art museum, and then we went to the public market, which is a really good, food marketplace. You can get fresh fish, you can get good sandwiches, anything you want, really. And I got this Facebook message from this guy, and he's like, "Yeah, so I'm not really feeling the show, so if you want that ticket, just come over to my house in Madison and pick it up." Mm-hmm. And I'm already in Milwaukee, so I'm like, "Oh, shoot, I guess I'm not going to this show." And as soon as, just when I read that, through the front door comes John Hodgman, Eugene Merman, and Kristen Schaal, and John Hodgman is holding a video camera. And he looks around the place and looks at me and my nephew and just beelines it to us and starts interviewing us.
No, this I got to hear. All right. So he comes over. So Hodgman, John Hodgman, the actor and raconteur.
Mr. CC himself.
You don't get to goof on him that way. It's rare air, my friend. Rare air. You don't get to tease him.
No, I love him. He treated me so well.
Yeah, of course you love him. He's great. Rare. I don't like the presumptuousness.
Mr. PC himself.
You into him.
Yeah, okay. So he comes up, he starts videotaping you. Then what happens?
He just asks us questions, or asks me questions, who is this? And I just say, "Yeah, well, my name's Terry." And he's like, "You going to the show tonight?" And I was like, I thought I was, but I guess I don't have a ticket because my buddy ditched me. And then he told me to pull out my phone and start recording him. And he asked me what his name was. You know, I was like, "Ryan Lee." He's like, "All right." He's like, "Okay, hit record." And I record. And he was like, "Hey, Ryan, good job ditching your buddy Harry Charles. But guess what? He doesn't need you because I'm getting him into the show. So take a hike, dirtbag." And he told me to post it.
All right, this is boring. I'm getting dizzy with that one. Are there any women on hold, Mike? Let's get some women. I'm tired. I'm tired of these. Just no more dudes right now. These dudes. Look, God bless all of them, but it's and that guy was perfectly fine. And just the only problem was the boring thing he was saying. That's it. But other than that, he was great. He was just telling me every detail. I was stuck in an episode of 24. Real time. Except if Jack Bauer went to go see John Hodgman live. Yeah. I gotta start bouncing these dudes. Yeah. Liven it up, guys. Liven it up. A fresh coat of paint on these calls. You know what I mean, Mike? Fresh coat of paint. Nah, let's burn through these. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Adam in Forest Hills.
Adam, what's up?
Not much. Have you seen this AT&T commercial with that Mark Cuban puppet?
With a Mark Cuban puppet? No, I haven't.
I mean, it looks really lifelike. Like, it it almost looks real.
No, you're talking about this is your comedy routine. There's a one with Mark Cuban in it. You're claiming that's a puppet, right? Is that what you're going for?
Oh, come on.
Come on, what?
He stinks in it.
Well, okay, look, it's not like you went to go see him in Iceman Cometh. It's like you saw him in a commercial. What, do you want a refund from an AT&T commercial you saw?
Yeah.
Goodbye. You're banned for 5 years. 5 year ban on that guy. I gotta take the wheel on this thing. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Corey from Providence, Rhode Island.
What's up, Corey?
Well, I was listening to a lot of Paul Stanley stage banter in your absence, and one really stuck with me, if I could share it.
What is it?
Well, he's in Richmond, and he says, people, when we started this band, they told us no one would want us, but Richmond, you proved them they were wrong. And then he says, later when we took off the makeup 30 years ago, they said no one would want us, but 5 million records later, Richmond, you proved them they were wrong. Give yourself a hand. I don't know if that's a humble brag or what it is, but I wanted to share that.
I love the Paul Stanley. I love Paul Stanley talking.
I had one question for Kristen Shaw, if that's possible.
Well, it's not possible. She's gone. That segment is over. These guys. No more guys. They're all bad. Unless they pop tonight. These guys. This is like a waiting room. I feel like I'm waiting for my oil to get changed. Sitting in a gas station waiting for you get a flat and you go to a gas station you weren't expecting to. You end up sitting in one of those gas station, like, the one area where, like, the desk is and there's, like, two chairs. And you're just, like, staring at the guy as he sits at the desk eating. That's what I feel like from these guys tonight. Like, gray paint. A lot of gray paint tonight. A whole lot of gray paint. Guys, liven it up. If you're not going to light it up, don't call. We got to get some dynamism in here. The show's already on the ropes in the larger sense. We're getting lapped by everybody. Everybody's lapping us. Yeah, you guys are calling up and it's like a clogged toilet. It's like every call is like a clogged toilet. I feel like a Roto-Rooter man trying to unclog these toilets, these verbal toilets. Who's good here, Mike? Two? Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Ryan from Brooklyn.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, I was wondering, did you see that photo of LeBron James hugging J.R. Smith and Shumpert, sort of really happy? I was just wondering what you thought of that, the Knicks sort of, like, giving away their team.
No, the Knicks are garbage. They're dumping everybody. It's a trash team. It's run by the guy who runs it is a pile of trash, Phil Jackson, most overrated guy in the history of sports. With that are played with balls, he's a complete fraud. He's never coached a team that didn't have a guy who is a top 50 player on it, and he's a clown. And he came to New York, and if anything, he came as a secret agent from the Bulls just to ruin the Knicks one more time, just to frustrate the people of New York one final time. And I have a feeling, when it's all said and done, he's going to pull open his suit jacket at the center of the floor on Madison Square Garden. He's going to be wearing a Bulls jersey.
But don't you think he could be tanking the team on purpose, and then maybe they'll get a number one draft pick?
Look, it's too late. It's over. It's over for the Knicks. They're going to be bad until the 22nd century.
All right, thanks.
See, that guy was lively, at least. In, made a point, out. Three. Mike said three. I got to see what's on four. It's just how it goes. Mike liked three, made me strangely want to know why he didn't recommend four. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Nathan from Blacksburg.
From where?
Blacksburg, Virginia.
Hey, how can you assume I'd know where Blacksburg? Hey, it's me from Blacksburg. It's not like New Orleans. It's not like, hey, it's Nathan from New Orleans. And then I'm the dummy if I go, where's New Orleans? Blacksburg. What's in Blacksburg that I should know about Blacksburg by name only, without a state to ID it?
Virginia Tech is here.
I don't care about colleges.
University.
Okay, there's a school. Okay, there's a school there. All right. School everywhere. What's going on, Nathan?
I'm calling for some advice.
All right, this I like. Whoa, what do we need advice on?
I'm in a band that is opening for a bigger band this May. And I was wondering if you had some advice on how to play a sort of amphitheater type situation when you are a band that has not played an amphitheater type situation before.
Is the show sold out?
There are sold out shows, yes.
Is it sold out entirely on the strength of the headliner?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're there, you go, you do the best you can. No one's there to see you, so it's all gravy.
Right. We're the file into the seats band.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The ushers are pointing people to the seats while we're...
Yeah. Name of your band might as well be We Have T-Shirts.
We do have T-Shirts. That'll be good.
No, I'm saying the headliner said. Like, the headliner would say, we have T-Shirts. Go buy them while these clowns... make sound until we come out. Who's the band?
Well,
you don't want to say who the headliner is. You're being very coy about this.
Who's the headliner?
Yeah, you're tap dancing around. Who's the headliner?
It's Wilco is the headliner.
You're opening for Wilco.
That's correct.
And what's the name of your band?
It's Steve Gunn.
No, Steve Gunn. I know you guys. That's awesome.
Oh, hey, I'm the drummer.
Well, it's nice. KV, Kurt Viles, always pumping, always hyping Steve Gunn.
Yeah, I play banjo on some of Kurt's new stuff.
All right. Well, look, you go out, you do what you
can
do, you play your thing. Wilco fans will lend you an ear.
I think that's a
positive group. It's not like you're going opening for Pantera. And you're just going to get things thrown at you.
Oh, no, this isn't the trenches. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I feel okay about it.
Go out. I have a feeling, and don't take this the wrong way.
Okay.
The actual point of this call was for you to say,
no.
I'm opening for Wilco, and I'm super proud of it, which is okay. That's okay.
Hey.
That's all right. I don't fault you for that.
I'm very nervous about it, Tom.
Okay, I'm sure you are. But look, I think you just got to go out and do your thing. You're playing in front of an audience that appreciates music.
Mm-hmm. They appreciate music in general. So.
So you go up, you play your thing. What are you playing, 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
I think we might get a little longer.
Okay.
So I think we get a little longer than that.
You go up, do your thing, rock out. Everybody, Wilco's up next.
I'll practice my saying that on the mic. Wilco is up next.
Yeah, just over and over.
Stress on the
over and over. Over and over. Thanks for the call. Look, I look forward to seeing you guys on this tour. And I want to hear the new Steve Gunn record.
Oh, we're working on it.
Oh, I can't wait. You have a great night. A little look behind the curtain there. I feel like I'm Cal Rudman all of a sudden, giving a little look into the music biz. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who is this?
This is Sarah from Chicago.
Sarah from Chicago. Do I know this, Sarah?
You do.
I do.
You do indeed know this, Sarah.
Okay. What's up, Sarah?
Nothing. I was just calling to say hi. You know, excited that you have the show going again, so I thought I should call up.
Yeah.
I had a long day today. I drove all the way back over the last 2 days from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Chicago. So
how many miles? How many miles is that?
God, I don't know. It was like 17 hours. So
straight through? You share the ride with somebody?
No, I drove straight through by myself. I did stay the night in a scary motel room, which is my norm when I'm traveling for some reason.
Isn't that the worst in a way, though, where you're just like, well, my body won't let me keep going. I guess I'm going to actually lay my head down on whatever constitutes a bed in this place.
Yeah, I have like a weird habit because every time I try to stay somewhere nicer, like my mom gets really upset with me because she's always like, just pay the extra $20, stay somewhere nicer. I always end up at like the worst hotel room situation ever, you know, like next to a frat party or like a dog next door. So whenever I stay in the terrible motels, it's always like a better stay, but it's like scary. So I end up like putting all the furniture in front of the door usually or something like that. But, which I did last night, but
I think you might need to do, you might need to do the following where you're driving and then this is my little, tell me if this would work for you.
Okay.
You're driving.
Okay.
You realize, like, yeah, like, if I'm probably, like, 3 hours away from being ready to pull over, right? You approach it that way.
And then, like, Google up a hotel room?
Yeah, you pull over.
Okay.
You try to find a room online that looks half decent. And you can look at options without having to pull into each place to find out what the deal is. Where you realize it's a terror show when you're in there, and then you just go, who cares? I'll stay here. It doesn't matter. Give yourself a little buffer here, Sarah.
Well, what I did instead was drive. I knew I was once in a road trip situation a couple years ago, so I knew kind of like where I roughly was going to end up, which was like Joplin, Missouri. And as I'm pulling up, of course, I see the hotel that has the, like, $39.99 rooms.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's my spot.
You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it. You're a cheapo.
No.
You got long arm. You got short arms and long and deep pockets, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, but it's always a better stay, even though it's, like, creepy. You know, like, I always have a better night in these places.
Well, that's weird. I'm sorry. It's a better stay, even though it's scarier. I don't know what to say to that. There's nowhere. That's completely unique to you, then.
It is. But the times in my life when I've tried to, like, upgrade, I end up, like, being up all night because of some, like, nonsensical thing. Like, I usually, like, once the fear part is passed, I usually actually have, like, a better stay.
Look, you'll have an even better stay if you can conceive of this. That I don't think you've reached the upper limits of a decent stay in a place. You're just talking about better stays than the haunted houses you seem to be choosing to sleep in. Like, the only reason you should probably stay in half the places you're staying in is if you need to inherit a fortune if you last through the night there.
Well, you know, and what's the other weird thing, like social media or blah, 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 but I've started to do this weird thing when I end up somewhere that I'm like, this is a slightly terrifying location. Like, I'll just tweet or Instagram literally where I am show up to the next day they can figure out what happened to
me. Well, do you want to know a quick fix to that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a two birds with one stone situation.
Hmm.
Stay at an actual nice place.
Let's
go stay at a Hyatt, like those like business ones. You know what I mean? Go stay at one of them. They're $30 more, and you know you go in there. It's new. It's everything looks like it's made of plastic. It's gonna be. You'll be fine in there. You'll be safe, and you don't have to tell everybody where you are in case you don't make it. This is what you, I'm Sarah, I'm going to ask you now on, when you pull into the parking lot, look in your rearview mirror. Pull your rearview mirror, bend it down so you can look yourself right in the eyes. Then you look out the window, you look at the place, look back at yourself, look back at the place, look back at yourself, and then ask yourself this question. Am I being a cheapo? Sarah, are you being a cheapo?
Is it worth it?
Is this worth it? Sarah, is there an actual better option that will maybe cost $30 more? Then I won't have to tell everybody where I am?
I know. It's a weird habit. And, like, I think sometimes, though, it's maybe partly, like, I have an overactive imagination of just, like, things happening to me, you know? Like, so I get, I creep myself out, like, the more it goes.
No, but places, but the thing is, places are actually creepy, too. That's the thing. You need, you know what you need to do? Knock it off.
I know.
Leave this in the past.
Well, I can't, and I even think about it, like, that I put it on social media because I can't actually just tell my family where I am because they would get so mad at that that's where I was, so I have to, like, leave it up to sort of, like, strangers that I know on Twitter.
Ask yourself this question. Of course, let's just, by all means, let me let people who I don't actually know guide me through life here. People who are using some sort of, that I don't know their actual name. When it comes down to, when push comes to shove, I'm not sure what their actual name is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to a, I don't know if you want to hear a couple funny things that I've done on my trip, but I went to a meeting.
Give me one.
Okay, here's one. So I went to a Telema meeting, which is like the church that Aleister Crowley started. Okay. It was just like this funny thing, like I thought of it that day and I Googled it and there happened to be a meeting that night in Austin. So I was like, you know what? That's a weird synchronicity. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go to this thing. And I don't know much about Austin. Like I have only been there a couple times to visit. So I show up at this meeting and it's like in a darkened like strip mall on the side of the highway, like an office strip, you know, not like a stores, but like one of those office, you know, compounds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I pull up and
In the tradition of Aleister Crowley, if he only could see what's going on in the 21st century, he'd see that there's that his thing is next to a karate studio and a subway. That his writings are being honored in this place that next to a place that has a sign in the window for $5 footlongs.
but I'll close, right? Right. So I pull up, and this was the first time I ever thought of doing this. Like, I had the address in my, like, I had copied it to put it in my map. So I pulled up, and I could see that the people who were in there saw me, so I couldn't, like, do anything as I was walking up other than simply just tweet. No other explanation except the address. So I just tweeted the address. And, like, a friend from Twitter or whatever wrote me back, like, are we supposed to do something if you don't tweet again like, within an hour?
You.
Yeah. That's my plan.
All right, Sarah. It's time. It's time to take ownership over some of your actions here.
Well, I was smart. That was a safety precaution.
No, it is. You know what? You're 100% right. You are right to do something, to look out for yourself. But you know another way you could look out for yourself was to not go all the way up to the door when you had did the thing. You could have looked at it from your car and then done the thing I do, which is act like a total coward and make up an extended story about why I'm where I am and over-explain myself to people who aren't remotely interested in why I'm over talking to them about why I'm here.
But I was trying to be brave, but with like a caveat that I'm also sort of terrified.
Okay.
Of what's going to happen when I go in there?
It
was basically like a D&D convention. It wasn't anything.
Sure. Look, I applaud your sense of curiosity and adventure. I think that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look, and the thing with the Aleister Crowley thing is one thing. The thing with the lodging, just take care of yourself a little better like that. You're not going to, the $30 is not going to make or break you. It isn't.
I know.
Stay at a place that, yeah. If you could picture, ask yourself, could I picture Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men patrolling the hallways of the place I'm about to give my driver's license over to and go in and bring all my things in the room? Ask yourself, could he be patrolling the hallways looking for somebody that wronged him, that to kill? Could that happen here? And if the answer is even maybe, then just go somewhere else.
Because, like, he doesn't show up at Holiday Inn Express, is what you're saying? Probably.
I would say the manager of a Holiday Inn Express is going to say, they're going to see him come in with his cow killer.
With that weird gun that he has with, like, air rocket or whatever.
Yeah, the thing that they use to brain cows.
Mm.
His little cattle thing. They'll see him come in, and they'll just say, welcome to Hyatt Express. How can we help you? And he'll just be like, but he would at least have somebody asking him that before he got there. And then maybe he'd sit down in the cafe and have like
continental breakfast.
Yeah, he'd go to the waffle station, and he would be so busy making waffles all morning that he wouldn't go and hunt people down.
Right.
All right, Sarah. Thank you for the call.
Of course, we're excited to see you guys in Chicago.
It's going to be great.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Take care. Bye. See, that's what the show needs more of. Fun people. Not this gray paint I've been getting. I feel like I'm getting a can of gray paint dumped on my head every time I press a button down. Guys, you like rock music. I know you do. I sure do. You know, it's a great band. Trouble in Mind put this album out by this band called Germ House. It's got members of the Mr. Airplane Man are in this. Who else? The Marked Men, members of that band, and then the Turpentine Brothers. And this album is great, and we're going to hear something from it right now. Yeah, Germ House. The album is called Showing Symptoms, and it's on the Trouble in Mind label. And that song is called Over Under. This album's really great. You gotta support the people the best show plays. Support the music. Everybody, you guys should know that this Friday at the UCB Theater in New York City, the UCB Theater in Chelsea, Jason Gore and Kristen Bartlett. Jason Gore is, you might know him as Dudio. Kristen and Jason do a show called Dead Dad's Club, which is really a great show. And you should check it out Friday, 7:30, UCB Theater in New York City.
Check it out.
The phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the number. That's where the magic happens. And remember, no more gray paint tonight. Come on, guys. No more. Let's liven it up. Best show, you're on the air.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. My wristwatch alarm went off.
Your wrist. That was your wristwatch.
It was, yes. Do you know what song it was playing?
What was that? Disco Inferno?
By the Tramps, yes.
Sure.
I'm into disco now.
Oh, okay. You're into disco now.
That's, yes.
Seems to be a common occurrence.
It does? Who's into disco but me?
I think everyone is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I hear a lot of people starting to dig disco.
Are they DJing like I am?
Oh, you're DJing?
Oh, yeah.
I think you told me about this.
Just in the basement for now.
Oh, okay, you're just like a basement DJ.
Yeah, you don't know who this is, do you?
I think I know who this is.
Say my name.
Philly Boy Roy.
Yeah.
How about that?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah. How are you?
I'm freezing my crotch marbles off down here in Philly. It's awful.
Cold, huh?
Yeah, we got more snow today. It's really wreaking havoc on my social life.
It's wreaking what?
It's wreaking hammock.
Havoc.
Is what?
You want to say it's wreaking havoc on your...
No, I don't. Cracking late in the series episode of Gilligan's Island much? It don't sound like you do.
I don't know what you mean.
See, it's in reference to that time Gilligan pulled a practical joke and he smeared fetid shark entrails all over the professor's hammock. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, that hammock, it reeked bad, Tom.
Because it had shark entrails on it?
Fetid shark entrails.
Oh, fetid shark entrails, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So Gilligan smeared them?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what this is putting me in mind of?
What's that?
Do you remember the last episode of Gilligan's Island?
I don't think I do.
Oh, man, they only showed it once.
The final episode of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
What happened on the final episode of Gilligan's Island?
Oh, well, man, turn all the lights on, because it's really scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, the castaways, they finally get found by the U.S. Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big hurricane. And there's all this debris on the beaches, so they can't get a rescue boat in.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Navy sends a big helicopter to airlift everyone off it.
Okay.
But as the helicopter comes across the horizon, Gilligan holds up one of Ginger's mirrors
You know,
to catch the sunlight and reflect it back so the guy can see where everyone's at. You know, to get the attention of the helicopter pilot.
Now that actually sounds like a smart strategy, yeah.
Gilligan was way smarter than people give him credit for.
Okay, I never thought of it that way, but...
Okay. Anyway, the light blinds the pilot and he loses control of the helicopter.
Okay.
And the copter crashes towards the ground. And one by one, the castaways all get caught in the helicopter blades.
Oh my God.
The carnage rivaled that of Antietam. The battle and the band. What?
I never thought the band... Carnage is not the first thing I would think of when I think of the band, but...
Oh, yeah, they shredded.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them down at Revival once.
Okay.
Club down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, in 2013, TV Guide called that episode, to this day, the single most disturbing event not only televised, but ever imagined.
Wow, that is, that's, even imagine, not even.
Yeah, like, isn't that weird? Like, there's that was a category.
Imagined.
Most disturbing imagined.
Yeah.
Thing.
That's crazy.
They must have dumped that category since. You don't hear about it no more.
Usually you hear about best actor, like people say, who's the best actor, who's the best director or best show. You don't usually hear people say, what's the most disturbing
thought?
Yeah, the most disturbing thought. Not even what. Not even what's the most disturbing show. The most disturbing place your mind could go.
Very, very odd tangent we're on right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it actually is, Roy.
Yeah. Hey, little tidbit about that episode.
Mm-hmm.
The Box Tops play the helicopter crew.
The band, the Box Tops.
Yeah, they shot it in 67.
Okay.
Yeah. A young Alex Chilton can be heard saying, "This MF-er is going down, boys."
Wow. So he's on the copter.
Yeah. You know what's weirder?
What's that?
The final theme song, when they play the final time of the theme song.
Of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. It was played by the Red Crayola.
The band.
The psych band, yeah.
Wow. So this is 67.
Yep.
So they're probably kind of in like Parable of Arable land.
Absolutely, yeah. Sherwood Schwartz was way into early psych. He dropped psilocybin and blessed Axis Bold as Love in the writer's room.
Sherwood Schwartz would.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Well, I'm not the one making the outrageous claim.
I'm not making it up.
That's really stupid.
Oh, no, it ain't. I'll tell you one thing about this weather.
Yeah?
The only good thing is I get to wear my down Agents of Fortune parka every day.
You mean
you
like...
You know what that is,
don't
you?
Yeah, like Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got the BOC Ankh bedazzled on the back.
Okay.
And people of all ages, creeds, and colors stop and go, "There goes a true Cultosaurus erectus." And I go, "That's right, my man." Or woman, you know, pertaining to what the sex is of the aforementioned commentor.
Because they see your jacket and they can spot a Blue Oyster Cult fan.
They sure
coming
do.
Down the street. And
it's great. And oh, no! Ow!
Right.
Oh, no!
What happened?
Oh.
You all right?
I'm fine. I just accidentally broke the gift I was going to send you.
You were going to send me a gift?
Yeah. Oh, man. It was kind of a goodwill gesture from Roxborough in celebration of your relaunch of the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, That's nice. That's
well, it would have been nice had I not dropped it on the floor and broke it. Way to go, Roy!
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That's, you know. So it broke?
It's shattered, oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, can I ask what the gift was?
Well, it was this live 3D set of Bruce Springsteen playing at the Agora in Cleveland on the Darkness Tour. Supposed to be a great night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that he's been putting those out. Yeah, I wanted that. I've been meaning to get that.
Oh, man, it was signed, too.
Oh, man. That is... So you have a signed copy...
Yeah.
Of the Springsteen Live 78 thing show in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Is that something you got on his website? Because he's been selling all these things on brucespringsteen.net. Is that, was he selling signed copies up there or something?
No, he signed it for you the other night at Quarters.
He signed it where?
The other night at Quarters.
I'm not sure. I don't know what you're saying.
I never told you about this.
About what?
Oh, well, you know, Bruce, me, and a bunch of guys from Roxburgh have been having monthly quarters nights since, like, back in 85.
Monthly quarters nights?
Yeah.
Now, Roy, when you say quarters, you don't mean, like the drinking game quarters.
I sure as donuts do.
Okay. So you have a quarters night.
I do, and Bruce is great at it.
He's great at quarters.
Oh, yeah.
That's... Huh. You know, I never thought he was like a particularly big drinker.
Oh, he don't drink, especially when he's playing with me. I love to drink.
I know you do love to drink, Roy, but this sounds a little fishy to me. Is this, just be honest, are you lying right now?
What?
Why
do you say that? Because he's Jersey to the bone and I'm Philly to the marrow and you don't think we'd be able to hang like total bros?
Well, I guess that's a minor part of why I would think you'd be making this up, but more because he's a superstar and an icon, and you're, no offense. I mean, you're...
Say it. Just say it. You think I'm unhinged, erotically charged, possibly criminally insane, Philly street trash.
That is... I never would have said that.
Oh, okay, because a minister said that to me the other day.
That's what you... a minister called you that?
Called me that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Why would he call you... was it unhinged?
Yes.
Something about...
erotically charged.
Erotically charged.
Possibly criminally insane... Philly street trash.
Uh-huh. Why?
It's burned into my memory. I'm going to take that to the grave in the next life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Why would he call you that?
Oh, nothing.
No, what? Why?
Family is off his town down and Waverly, everybody go.
What's that?
He found me in his office chowing down on them wafers they give people to get into heaven. Why?
Oh, that's just... that's out of bounds, Roy. That's not food. That's like a sacrament.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's not for you to eat.
Well, don't judge me. Only one can judge me.
Oh, what's that?
Only one can judge me.
Okay.
Dick Vermeil.
Oh, okay. The form...
I'm sorry, Coach Vermeil. If he finds out I called him by his first name, I'm screwed.
Well, I will say this. You don't seem to have any respect for the church, but you seem to have a ton of respect for a former coach of the Eagles.
Well, he's like a god to me, and I'm going to see the church when they come here soon.
What's that?
I'm going to see the church when they play here.
You're going to see the church are playing in Philly?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't seen them since, what tour was the last one I seen? Gold Afternoon Fix, maybe? I kind of jumped off after that. Priest equals Aura, not my cup of tea.
I didn't know you were a big fan of the church.
I like some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's, look, I'll say this about you. You never cease to amaze me, and the church thing is... one thing, but I'm going to say the bigger thing we're talking about now is you saying you've been playing quarters with Bruce Springsteen since, what year did you say?
85?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I have to hear more about this.
Okay, well strap yourself in, okay? It's going to be a bumpy ride like they said in Jaws.
I don't remember anybody saying strap yourself in. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Right, yeah, it's right before he goes, this boat needs to be way bigger.
Why do people think that's turning into like one of these like play it again, Sam kind of things where that's not what was said in the movie.
Sure it is.
But he didn't say this boat has got to be way bigger. That's not the way.
Did you just play a sample of it?
No, I didn't play. No, and it's
just like it.
Well, I don't know why people keep saying that that's the line from Jaws. It's not the line from Jaws, and people keep saying it's. Who do people say was Charles Nelson Reilly or something? He was not in Jaws.
That's Rob Schneider.
No, Rob Schneider was not in Jaws either.
I don't know. Well, you was asking me a question about this, right?
About
Springsteen. I'm going to answer it.
About Springsteen, yes, yes.
Yeah. See, we met back September 85 when he was doing Six Nights at the Spectrum.
Okay.
My buddy Wheels, Mouse, and Fart snuck in with me, but I got kicked out about an hour into the show.
Yeah. So you got kicked out about an hour into the Springsteen show,
Sure did. Uh-huh. I ran up on stage during Badlands.
Yeah.
And I stuffed a fully loaded tuna hoagie into Clarence's saxophone right before that epic solo.
Okay, so he's like teeing up, getting ready to do...
The 18,000 people know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
One of the most iconic sax solos ever.
Yeah.
When he blew into that thing, it sounded like a mouse screaming into a pair of fully loaded khakis.
Oh, that's evocative. I never thought of anything sounding... That's a very evocative image for the way something sounds.
Will you put that on my tombstone?
What's that?
That's a very evocative image.
You know what? Sure, I'll bring that up. When,
thank you.
You know, heaven forbid the day comes.
Right.
When, you know, you've...
Can you imagine a life without me?
You want to know what, Roy? I kind of can't.
Thank you.
Okay, I didn't realize
that
was...
That's my new thing. Thank you.
It's very... It's,
I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, it's charming.
Thank you.
It's like, it doesn't in any way... sound obnoxious or just
insincere,
strangely entitled to that for that.
Okay. Oh, so what was I talking? Oh, the when I jumped up on stage, right?
Yeah, you were saying you jammed a tuna hoagie into Clarence Clemens' saxophone.
Thank you for reminding me. Oh. I got tackled by a bunch of goons, and I got thrown out.
Uh-huh.
And I was so mad I went to the Hilton, you know, across the parking lot from the Spectrum to party in the bar.
Yeah.
Who comes in but Bruce?
Really?
It was just me and him sitting there just, you know, having drinks and stuff. It was so real, Tom.
Surreal. I think you mean so. It was surreal.
Look, don't get all teachery on my sweet ass, okay?
Oh. All right.
Anyway, we start talking about stuff, and he's just being the coolest guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought my stage invasion was really cool and funny. He was actually mad at Clarence that night for wearing a white jumpsuit that made him look like he was in Menudo.
Okay.
So he was kind of into Clarence getting his comeuppance.
Yeah, that... Okay, so he liked it.
He did like it, and so we're hanging out. I invite him back to my apartment. I'd just gotten my first pad, right?
Uh-huh.
It was a Manny-unk. And we start playing folded paper football for hours.
Folded paper football?
Yeah, you ever played that?
I think, is that the thing where you, like, kind of fold up a piece of notebook paper into, like a triangle?
Yes!
And then you kind of flick it around?
Yeah.
Maybe
your finger's a foot.
Yeah, you pretend your finger is a foot. Yeah, maybe in like middle school. Sure.
We still do it. It's fun.
Okay.
Well, you must have been an early bloomer to be doing it back then.
I never thought of it as any sort of me being progressive at all, but maybe we were a little bit ahead of it in New Jersey.
Possibly. But then soon enough, we graduated to a real man's game, quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, man, he's so good at it. He rarely loses, which means I get chiffonchéd, which I'm totally down with.
Okay. So.
And we were total bros from then on, right?
So the two of you just hit it off.
Oh, yeah. He comes down to Roxborough all the time. He's actually Roy Jr.'s godfather.
Bruce Springsteen is... your son, Roy Jr.'s godfather.
Yeah, Bruce calls him Little Boss.
Right, Roy, you know, we've had so many conversations over the years. How have you never mentioned this before?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think nothing of it. You know, to me, it's just another page in the book of Roy, right?
Okay. It's like, I guess it, you definitely have a bunch of stories, and who, I've...
Oh, hang on, okay? That's him now.
Who?
Bruce. Hang on. You got the Roy dog. What's going on, B-Man? Look, how many times do I gotta answer this, Bruce? When I see it, it's white and gold. Who cares if you see blue and black? It's not a big deal. And I'm tired of talking about this dumb dress. Yeah. Yes, Bruce, I've heard the term before. It's really not in wide usage right now. Oh, man. Tom?
Yeah?
Bruce keeps saying that the phrase... Turned down for what? It's something he heard in a song or something. He can't stop saying it. I think it means to sober up.
Okay.
And he, between you and me, he latches onto these hip phrases and he beats them into the ground.
Really? You're talking to Bruce right now?
I am, yeah. Hey, like, Bruce, hang on, okay?
Uh-huh. Well, like, so he says turn down for what to you?
Yeah.
Like what other phrases does he use?
Oh, man. Off the top of my head, let's see. Aight, crunk, slammin', my bad, talk to the hand, doy, cold lampin', yada, 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 what else? Don't even go there, fart knocker, butt ugly, we like to send out a mailer, what up, dog? Sweet nugs, I want to say Mason. Step off, what else does he say? Punani, what you talking about, Willis? Holy shnikes, I kid you not. What else? Barf me out, these dogs are barking. Grindage, this boat needs to be way bigger. Don't narc me out, but yes! Take a chill pill, Narbo, that's a dork. No doy, no can do, eat my shorts, swiggity sweet. Where's the beef? That's just to name a couple of them.
Springsteen regularly uses all of those things you just said.
Well, he's been doing it since I've known him. Yeah, uh-huh. He's been saying fleek all week, too. What does that mean?
Like, I barely know what fleek means. It's a.
I don't know either.
It's like
saying every other sentence. It's rough.
Yeah, it's like a new expression. I barely know what it is.
I don't get it. Oh, hang on, Blob. Okay. Hey, Bruce. Can you do me a favor? Can I get you to sign another one of them Cleveland 78 CDs? I accidentally dropped it on the floor and it smashed. Who'd you get to supply them jewel cases, Ryko Disc? That thing shattered faster than my copper blue case when I cracked the cellophane on it. I'm just busting your bees, B. Yeah, it's for Sharpling. Wait, what? Oh, my God, that's insane. Then what did he do? This is just crazy. What does she have to do with them?
What is he?
Rob.
Yeah?
Bruce is talking about some crazy incident you talked about on your show a couple weeks ago where you asked Patti Smith if humble pie was any good. That's not real, is it?
Oh, wait, Bruce Springsteen, I can't believe. Oh, that. Well, first of all, I can't believe Bruce Springsteen knew who I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea how he would hear about this, unless he was listening to hear about the Patti Smith thing. Basically, in a nutshell, I was in San Francisco and saw her in the hotel and then went into the elevator when she was going in the elevator. And I figured I would try to come up with a different thing to ask her rather than the same thing she's probably heard a million times.
Oh.
So I know, Roy, I know. So I asked her if, back in the day, she had, I know.
I know.
What's worse is I already know how this goes, and it's still giving me the skeeves.
Oh, Roy, it came out of my head and mouth. And
I just want to hear you say it, please.
I asked her back in the day if she ever saw Humble Pie, and then she looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, that was before my time, which, if you think about the timeline, doesn't even remotely track. It was not before her time. She was seeing,
right.
she was seeing things in the 70s. She was from the 70s. It doesn't even remotely track.
Yeah, but you got to admit, it's probably the weirdest thing anyone on Earth has ever done. It's like me getting in an elevator with Greg Lesinski and asking him if Jack Nicklaus was any good.
I know, I admit it. I admit it. You're not going to get any argument from me on it. It's really, really skin-crawlingly weird and just unsettling.
I know, I'm unsettled right now.
It's unsettling. It unsettles me.
I don't like it. I don't want it. I certainly don't need it. And if you gave it to me, I'd give it away.
Well, that I think if you're going to go for something on your tombstone, you might want to skip over that other thing I said and go with that, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I'll have to sleep on this. Oh, but, you know, you said you couldn't believe that Bruce listened to your show, how weird that was. Bruce loves The Best Show.
No.
Been listening for years. He said he tried to get through 10 times last week to tell you about a moment he wants to take back, but he couldn't get through.
I don't even know what to say. I can't believe that Bruce Springsteen listens to The Best Show and that he would try to call show. That's...
He said he tried to call a bunch of times when you was on FMU, but Mike never let him through.
Really?
Yeah, he says Mike never believes it's really him, and he always makes some kind of Outlaw Pete joke that hurts Bruce's feelings.
Like when he's screening him.
Yeah.
No.
He don't let him through. And Bruce was going to send you a copy of the Outlaw Pete Kids book, but he was afraid Mike would spill beer all over it.
Ah, wow. Unbelievable. This guy's...
Yeah, he loves The Best Show. He was actually saying, get off my phone at the end of Mary's Place every night on the Rising Tour.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know it is. Hang on. What's that, Bruce? What? How does it go? I have no idea what that is. Why don't you call Barry and ask him yourself? Shut up, you dumb yitz, Norp. You're being dumb. Hang on, let me ask Blob and see if he's heard of this. Tom?
Yeah?
Bruce said he's trying to find this Bee Gees song that he's certain is on Main Course, but he's looking on iTunes and he can't find it nowhere.
Oh, okay.
He said, well, he says the first line goes something like this. Oh, girl, how can you say you love me, bitch, when I call you Devin Roger from Foghat?
Do
you want me to sing it again? Because I surely will.
Oh, you know what? Yes, I would like it one more time.
Okay, I think it goes something like this. Oh, girl, how can you say you love me, bitch, when I call you Devin Roger from Foghat? Does that ring any bells? It don't for me.
No, that does not sound familiar at all. I can't believe that I've never heard of a Bee Gees song.
That mentions Foghat.
That mentions...
And Roger specifically.
Yeah, yeah, what a weird... That I have no idea what that is.
I don't know. Wait, Bruce, there's no way I'm going to sing that over the radio. No, you listen to me. Tom and his listeners hold me up as a beacon of cool, and I don't want to ruin that. Oh, duh. I hate when Bruce goes, bees, like a little baby. He knows I'm silly putty in his hands when he does that.
Ugh, I don't like that either.
Okay, he says the chorus goes like this. Oh, girl, it hurts so bad. When you said you didn't want me to be your pimp.
What is?
I don't know what that. It seems crazy, right?
That's not a Bee Gees song. They don't have songs about them trying to be pimps and being mad or sad that a one woman wouldn't let them be their pimp.
I know. There's no way that's a Bee Gees song. Maybe a Rick James song.
Oh, well, that's offensive. Okay, yeah, of course it's Rick James.
I can say that because I live in a city. We're all one big family in this urban jungle.
Oh, that's...
What?
No, that's way out of bounds, Roy. Way out of bounds. Urban.
I told Bruce to ask Barry Gibb and, you know, ask him what the song is, but Bruce says he doesn't know Barry well enough to just call him up. And he says he thinks Barry won't know who he is.
But that's weird.
I go, Bruce, you're being a full-on pant faucet.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you call Bruce Springsteen a pant faucet?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you'd even talk to him like that.
Oh, he loves when I talk to him like that. He asked me to make fun of him in front of the other people in the E Street Band. He gets some weird charge from it.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? You were starting to say that Springsteen was trying to call in last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was he going to add to the topic? Like, what was his embarrassing thing that he would want to take back?
Oh, let me ask. Okay, hang on. Hold on.
Yeah, please.
Hey, Bruce, what was that thing you said you would like to take back that was so embarrassing that you did? No, please. No. Please stop. Don't stop, please. It's so bad. This is as bad as yours.
It's as bad as
mine. Oh, my God.
What?
Okay, well,
yeah,
when Bruce was campaigning for Obama last election, they were having lunch, and Obama said how much he loves the song Born to Run, right?
Okay, yeah.
And he makes a joke about naming Bruce to be the next Secretary of Transportation.
Okay.
Okay, well, Bruce thinks he's being serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bruce starts coming up with all these ideas to make travel, like, more affordable and simpler.
Okay.
He starts telling the president about an idea he's got for moving sidewalks that would go from city to city and go like 1,000 miles an hour. And like all these buses that run on water.
On what?
Water.
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 Okay, sure. W-A-T-E-R.
Yeah, water.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, anyway.
So buses that run on it.
Yeah, like that's their fuel.
Okay.
So he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's making all this stuff up, and he's basically just trying to remember stuff from the Jetsons.
Okay.
Yeah. And so eventually the president is so, like, weirded out by this and embarrassed for Bruce.
Yeah.
That he pretends he got a text saying his daughters had been kidnapped.
Just to get out of it.
Just to get out of it.
Which is like from a movie. That's like
exactly.
It's like Taken or something.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is so.
It's
embarrassing.
I think it's maybe worse than yours, but not by much.
No, that one's worse than mine.
No, was that Bruce? Yeah, I seen SNL this week. So what? Well, they didn't use it. It's not that big a deal.
SNL.
Well, I know it's disappointing, but they only have so much time.
Wait, what is?
Bruce submitted a joke to Lauren Michaels for Weekend Update, and he's upset it didn't get on.
Uh-huh. Really? He wrote a joke?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you know the joke?
Yeah, he actually told me what it was going to be. Something like, this week everybody was talking about them two llamas that escaped from their cages in Arizona. When asked for her opinion on it, Madonna said, I thought that the llamas were, you know, because she fell. She tripped on her luscious cape.
Oh, that joke. Oh, that's, oh, that's not a great.
Oh, he loves it, Bruce.
Wow.
You know, Bruce has been on SNL a lot, like playing live and stuff. But he wants to host really bad.
Really?
And he's got all these ideas for when he does host.
Okay.
He wants to do the cheerleaders routine, you know, that Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry did.
Yeah, and neither of them are on the show anymore.
No, but he wants to do it with him and Patty, his wife.
Him and... Oh, okay.
And he wants to do the making copies guy.
Okay.
And he wants to do the cone heads.
Cone heads.
He wants to do Mango.
Okay.
He wants to do Dieter.
Okay, all right. These are all...
Wants to do the Bumblebees.
These are all old characters. They don't just keep doing...
I know.
The characters, no matter... Like, it does the sketches don't stay alive.
No.
If the cast... those go away when the cast goes away.
He does want to do one current one, though.
What's that?
Guess.
A current SNL. Like a recurring thing?
Yes.
Is it, does it have a catchphrase attached to it?
To him it is. He says it all the time.
Attention teachers and students?
That's it, yes.
So, oh boy, Bruce wants to do that.
He wants to do that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I keep telling him, you gotta do new sketches, you know, you gotta do new characters. So he goes, okay, and he ended up writing this 20-minute long sketch about Gary U.S. Bonds and Barry Bonds running a bail bonds office.
Oh, Bruce.
I kept telling him, look, I don't care how good your Gary U.S. Bonds impression is. Lauren Michaels isn't going to know who it is. She just won't know.
Wait, she won't know. No,
yeah.
Lauren Michaels is a man. It's
what?
Lauren, not Lauren.
No, it's Lauren.
No, it's Lauren.
It is so.
L-O-R-N-E. What? Oh.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Oh, hey. I gotta go. Bruce is here.
He's there.
Yeah, he's outside. He's picking me up. And our new dog, Dave Cash, who I told you about.
Yeah, your dog, Dave Cash.
He's the best, right?
He sounds like a good dog.
Oh, I love him. Anyway, the three of us are going to go run up the art museum steps like Rocky did in Rocky I, the homely girl who took off her glasses, let down her hair, and was instantly hot.
Well, that's not the subtitle to the first Rocky movie.
Oh, I think it is. Well, anyway, if it's not, that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor... No, here nor... There, I don't know how these phrases get like in the lexicon where you keep. I keep hearing neither here nor there.
I don't know. Okay, we're coming. We're coming. You think you're a big man just because you got two horns up there in New Jersey? Y'all got two horns, and we only got one down here. I'm sick of it. Okay, Blob, I gotta run, okay?
Well, can you...
Oh, no.
Hey, Roy.
Dave Cash went on my foot.
What? Dave Cash went on his foot. Wow. Dave Cash went on his foot. Oh... These are crazy days, Mike. How are you doing? You doing all right? Who's good on these phones? Wait, who? Three. Mike's saying three. Again, your idea good or my idea good? Let's find out. Best show, you're on the air.
Tom, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
It's Colin from Astoria.
Colin from Astoria. What's going on in Astoria tonight?
Not too much. I just had kind of a theoretical question for you I thought you might like.
Well, we will find out, won't we?
All right, so if you could travel back in time and change one moment in musical history, what would it be?
One moment in musical history?
That you could go back in time and change for better or worse. What would it be?
I would, one moment, I don't know, one moment, I would probably, I would want to probably stop something, right? Wouldn't you want to stop something?
Yeah, probably.
From happening, what would I want to stop?
Maybe you could save Abby Hoffman from getting kicked in the ass at Woodstock.
Why would he say that was one of the greatest things ever? Pete Townsend conking him with his guitar?
No, it was very satisfying. I'm just trying to think of some like moment of violence or something you could prevent.
I don't know. Maybe I would get Maybe I would try to find a way to have the Attila album that Billy Joel, his first band, have that sell a ton of copies, and then Attila would never break up.
Yeah, and that would be the image of that big metal mustache or whatever he had.
Yeah.
Was he called Billy Joel in that band, or was he like William Joel or what?
I don't know. Thanks, buddy. Good call. Short and sweet. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Rachel in Philadelphia.
Rachel in Philadelphia. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on tonight?
Well, if it's okay, I wanted to share a story for the I Wish I Could Take It Back topic.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, it was about my first time meeting you, actually. But you are totally fine in this situation. It's all on me.
Okay.
So, it was at the Bell House for the Hurricane Sandy benefit.
Yeah.
That
was a great show a couple of years ago.
It was the best show that I've ever seen, actually. And I rarely drink too much, but I guess I celebrated a little too hard that night.
Okay.
And by the end of the night, I was a few deep and decided that it would be a good time to tell you the thing that I had been too afraid to call in about for years.
Okay.
So, obviously, a logical decision.
Sure.
So, yeah, I waited around after the show, and you graciously came to talk to me, and I started telling you this story about a Monkees episode that I wanted to tell you about. And I did not get the reaction that I expected. At one point, actually, you went to go see if Vance was being passed away.
Okay.
So you left me for a puppet that you control.
I wanted to make sure it wasn't being stolen.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough. But I wasn't sure if you were trying to get away from me. Or not?
Probably not.
So, okay. Well, I stayed where I was and you came back.
See?
So that's a plus.
That's all you need to know right there. I came back.
Yeah. True. But I continued the story that was originally didn't get a good reaction. And thankfully, more people kind of crowded around and I slinked away.
Okay.
But it got worse. I decided to double down and go to Ted Leo and ask him to play my birthday party.
Okay.
Which, again, he was super nice about it, but I remember the exact moment. He let me down really nicely, but I remember the exact moment that I overstayed my welcome with talking to him. And just the look on his face changed from being nice to, I need to get out of here.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I removed myself from the situation.
Look, it happens. You had a couple.
Yeah.
You had a few more drinky drinks than maybe you wanted to have. And, you wish you could undrink a drink, one of the drinks, maybe.
Yeah, right? Well, I also think the people that I was with, maybe should have advised. I don't know. It's not on them, but nobody told me not to do these things.
It's on you ultimately, but it's nice when people look out for you also.
Yeah, true. I was able to redeem myself with normalcy, so I was I actually ended up being in the KV Crimes video that you directed and one of the both videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I was able to...
You did fine, then. You're back on target.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Rachel, welcome back to the right side of the street.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah,
good night.
Have a good night. Bye. What do I want to say? I think you check over at Vulture. Daniel Ralston has a thing up there over at Vulture. His web series. I'm looking for it. Can't find it. Look closer. Why can't I find it? Well, just go there. Look for it. It's a thing. I can't find it. It's up there. Go to Vulture and poke around. It's got what's her name again? It's you know, from the Bangles. She's in it. It's at Vulture. You can't miss it. Go there and you'll find it. You know what I want to do right now, Mike? I want to spin. I feel like this has been a pretty good show, right? Right? You having fun out there? I think I want to spin the wheel of crystal. Can I do that? I can spin the wheel. You'll let me do that? Let's see what happens. I haven't done this in a while. It's one of my favorite activities, to spin the wheel of crystal. Wheel of crystal.
Eyes are a symptom of 26,000 diseases. It could be a stroke, a brain tumor, a detached retina. It could be you were bitten by a tsetse fly.
Okay. Can I spin it again? Yeah, I'm going to spin the wheel of crystal again.
I'm going to go shampoo the hair. They have an appointment. Not anymore. They're, too, big. Oh. It was one of the saddest days of my life.
Okay. I'm going to spin it one more time. I've earned it. I've earned a third spin of the Wheel of Crystal.
This annoys me, wake up the kids. I can't listen to music with my iPod earbuds because then I can't hear the monitor. And I can't have sex, because that...
Okay. Wow. The Wheel of Crystal. Who said the best show's not innovative? Susanna Hoffs is who it is. How'd I blank on that? Fine. One more time, I'm going to spin it. One more. Final time of the night. I'm spinning the Wheel of Crystal.
By the constant feeling of being on guard, I walked out onto the stage. All the moments of my career could not prepare me for what I saw. The members of the audience directly in front of me were all firefighters and police officers, and men, women, and children holding up signs saying, "Have you seen my brother?"
All right, that one was sad. I can't. That was a 9/11 benefit thing. Not. Final one. I can't end on the sad one.
Mine. Greatest living player, he hissed, and he storms off. I didn't know what to do. So totally confused, I was escorted up to Mr. Steinbrenner's box, and when I arrived, George was laughing. Well, you pissed Joe off. He insists on being introduced as the greatest living player. I didn't know. I said, can I apologize to him? George laughed some more. Joe was so angry that he left the stadium, and not just because of that. He was jealous of Mickey, and he couldn't stand the fact that it was Mickey's day, even though Mickey's gone. I'll take care of it, he assured me. Just don't worry, pal.
All right. How could you can? It can't not end up with a Mickey Mantle story when you spin the Wheel of Crystal. Let's go back to the phones. Who's good here, Mike? One. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
This is John from Long Island.
John from Long Island. What's up, John?
Not too much. I've got what will hopefully be a quick Billy Joel story for you.
Let's hear it.
Basically, I'm going to say about 6 or 7 years ago, North Shore of Long Island here, there's a local newspaper doing a story basically about reality bus tour of all these locations and Billy Joel songs and albums. I'll take you to everything he sang about all over the island. So they went to a record store that a roommate of mine worked at, the closest one to the area to where the song was pertaining to. And they asked him, you know, do you see Billy Joel around this area of Long Island at all too often? And I don't know how familiar you are with Long Island. The town is Huntington, which is on the north shore of Long Island. Billy Joel apparently frequented Huntington at some time. And this is where the story gets a little... My former roommate claims he was misquoted, but basically he alluded something to the fact of, you know, if you see a small sports car with a little drunk man driving in it, it might be Billy Joel. And much to Billy Joel's dismay, this is printed in the newspaper. Fast forward to 2 days later, my friend comes into work, and I said, oh, there's a note for you. He said, oh, what does the note say? Apparently, when he wasn't working, Billy Joel came in looking for my friend, who was quoted in the newspaper story. And the note basically said in plain text, dear Anthony, F you, Billy Joel. He was nice enough to leave that note for him.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
That's the
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Talbot in Mississippi. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's up, Talbot?
Not much. I have a story about interacting with famous people. I didn't really do a whole lot wrong, but it was still painful. And I think you're going to want to know about the famous people.
Allegedly. I don't know what axe you have to grind. I don't know if this is your chance to even the score with some famous person who did nothing to you. And now you're looking to dish out some payback. Let's hear it.
All right. So... I'm in my neighborhood in New Orleans, teenage kid. There's this cemetery, this beautiful old cemetery, and I'm walking through the cemetery, and I see this guy getting out of a van, long black hair, cigarette dangling from his lips, and I do a double take, and I just sort of almost ask the question out loud. I just go, Jimmy Page? And he just goes, yeah, like that. And it was Jimmy Page, and I couldn't believe it. I kind of freaked out, but I didn't try to talk to him. I didn't bother him or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I snuck around, you know, to kind of see what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And Robert Plant was there as well. And they were shooting, like, they were doing a photo shoot for, like, the Page Plant stuff. And this was in the 90s.
Sure.
And so anyway, there was, like, another group of, like, young teenage dudes that were, like, kind of hanging out. And then their English, they had this English, like, manager guy that came up and told us to F off. And, you know, it was kind of painful. And then there were these beautiful women that were eating at this restaurant across the street, and they were ushered right in for photographs and all that. So, you know, that was kind of painful to be a teenage kid. And, you know, but at least Page and Plant didn't, you know, they didn't say it. It was their stupid manager.
There you go. Look, you got to see the guy face to face. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There you go. You got a nice little story.
Yeah, it was.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? This is Sam in Los Angeles.
Going all right. Let's get some ladies calling, please. Some women, please. No, no offense to you, Sam, but let's liven it up here. We got a couple open lines at 201-332-3484. What's going on, Sam?
I wanted to see what you thought. You were ending your run at FMU talking about going to see The Counselor. The film, the Ridley Scott movie written by Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever were public with your opinion on it. I was wondering what you thought.
With the counselor?
I think it's one. Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. It was critically panned.
Sure. All right. See, but now you know what you just did. You just made it so now I sound like a rube if I say I don't like it.
No, I mean,
you had to slip your opinion in. Hey, Tom, I really want to know what your opinion of the counselor is, because I thought this is my opinion of it.
I sound dumb.
I can't win. You boxed me in.
I think you'll win either way. It's your honest opinion.
Okay. You know, I don't think there's an opinion of that movie. It seems like it's made by a crazy person, and it might be amazing, and it might be the worst thing I've ever seen. It might be both. I don't know. There is no good. There is no bad. There is only the counselor.
That is accurate, I suppose. It also had that the cameo from Hank from Breaking Bad and Under the Dome.
Yeah, I don't know if that's as much of a cameo as it is a small part. That's like
he was in one scene, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, a small part. A cameo is kind of like, look who it is. Can you believe he stuck his head in? We got a little thrill that he's here. It's like, no, he got a small part in the movie. But then they kind of tricked people in the marketing. They put him in the commercials on TV. He was in them. It's like he's in one scene.
Yeah, I was led to believe he was an integral part of the story.
No. Royal Jip. That's a bad word to say. I got to remove that from my vocabulary. Right? Jip? That's not a good word. That's a bad word.
What's the word?
Goodbye. I'm dying. This guy. No, that's why it's, you're not supposed to say that. I don't, I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Let me see anybody come in here 3 hours and do this dance. Let me see this. It's like a master class here. I'm like doing some Matrix stuff, bending over, missing bullets. It's like bullet time up in this piece, but with words. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Josh from San Francisco.
Josh, what's up?
I was very excited about tonight because my favorite NBA basketball team was playing your favorite NBA basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was prepared to congratulate you on beating my crappy NBA basketball team, but surprisingly, I got off work and found out that we actually won, and I thought that you might maybe want to congratulate a Sacramento Kings fan.
Why would I congratulate you? Both teams stink. They're not going anywhere. So a bad team beats a worse team.
But when two bad teams face off, I don't know. I think it's fine for the other bad team's fan to, congratulate the other bad team fan. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you are. Goodbye. I don't care. Like, congratulations. First of all, I don't play for the Knicks. I got nothing to speak for. You know what? I'll congratulate. If somebody does a better show than this show, yeah, then I would congratulate them for that, for doing a better show. That's a thing I control, is that. That's not me out there. Those guys win or lose. I had nothing to do with it either way. I'll congratulate somebody who does a better show than this show. Congratulations. You did a better show than this show. But first of all, it ain't happening. The best show's still thumping everybody around, even if it's... Even if we're running things, we might as well be the survivalists of radio shows. It's like around the woods, reading rations. It's like we ordered stuff from coast to coast at night, like the 5-year powdered food and the crank radio. That's where we're living now. We're out in the woods here. We bought stuff from Art Bell, living out in the woods. So yeah, look, so maybe that's where we're at. That don't have nothing to do with quality. This show, thump any other show. Put it up against pound for pound. We'll knock them all around. Yeah, but maybe, everybody's not on board. I can't control that. So I'd apologize for that. If some other show came, not apologize, and say, yeah, you beat us. But nobody's beaten us. Hang on. Congratulations to... Hi, I'm Tom Sharpling. I'm, as you all know, I am the New York Knicks. And I'd like to congratulate my friends who are... root for the Sacramento Kings. Congratulations, guys. You really beat us tonight, and you gave us a good old-fashioned thrashing, and I congratulate you, and neither of us will be in the playoffs because both teams are atrocious, and what a March basketball by losing teams. Oh, boy, these guys. I'm telling you, these guys, it's like... is well-meaning, man. These guys are well-meaning. This is well-meaning cannon fodder. I'm ready to crack it open with these calls. I'm going to stop taking calls if this is what we're up against. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey.
What's up?
Hello. Hi, my name is Zach. I'm from Austin.
What's up, Zach?
I'd like to talk about something I could take back if I could, meeting Michael Irvin, the Dallas Cowboys. This is about 1995. I was 10 years old or so. I was in the football camp because I played Pee Wee football. And at the end of this camp, you got to meet Michael Irvin. This is when they were going for the three-peat. You know, big team, huge team, dream team. Mm-hmm. So it happens. And Mike Irvin starts talking, and there's a bunch of kids there.
What kind of phone are you using? Do you mind telling me? What are you
It's an iPhone.
Okay, well, doesn't sound very good. It sounds like I'm talking to Buzz Aldrin here. Like I'm just waiting to hear you say something about setting foot on the moon.
No, I wasn't going to talk about that. But I do.
Goodbye. These guys are killing me. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
This is Tom.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Hey. First time, long time.
Okay.
What does Peter Pan call his boogies?
That is it. This is the last episode of the Best Show. Get the boxes, go shovel. I got to shovel my car out. I drove 2.5 hours in the snow to get here, so that I could have this parade of people showing that their phones work, apparently. It's the only reason they're calling, is to verify that their phones are still activated. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello? Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Holly from San Francisco.
How are you tonight, Holly?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing all right.
Cool. I just wanted to call and share my story about meeting my favorite musician tonight.
Your favorite what?
Musician.
Who's your favorite musician?
My favorite musician is Dave Vanian of The Damned.
Sure.
But in like 1999, they played at the Maritime Hall, which is still kind of like a reunion show at that point. But I was in the front row, and like I was probably like 23, and then it was an all ages show, so there were tons of like 18-year-old girls behind me that were all like punk rockers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 23, I was just like a like super hardcore goth, so I was wearing like an evening dress.
Okay.
And, you know, and there were all these girls behind me like pushing me and like trying to get past me, and I was like, no, like I'm in the front row. Mm-hmm. And then like I just couldn't take it anymore because they were, like, squishing me, and, like the whole crowd was just, like, pressing in. And so I just, like, I had my friend lift me up, and she lifted me up onto the stage. And as soon as she did that, the crowd collapsed behind me. and they pressed against my feet, so I'm facing the audience, and I can't move because the audience is pinning my feet.
Oh.
And then I feel these hands in my armpits, and I'm like, great, like security is like pulling me out.
You think you're about to get bounced.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, I'm going to get kicked out, like that caller who called earlier tonight. But was it like Bruce Springsteen? He got kicked out of a Bruce Springsteen show?
Yeah, he got thrown out of a Springsteen show. But admittedly, when he went on stage, he was a little less respectful than it sounds like you were.
Yeah, well, I was a very fine lady.
Okay.
I was wearing like a very beautiful dress, you know, like kind of constrictive. But basically I feel these hands in my armpits, and I get picked up and I'm turned around and I'm facing Dave Vanian, who's wearing these like giant black, like serial killer leather gloves and like, you know, just super dark sunglasses. And he held my hand and saying, "I just can't be happy today," to me, which was like at that time was like my favorite song. It was like amazing.
That's awesome. That's a nice story.
Yeah, maybe it'll make your night better.
Yeah, well, it does. It helps. I got to figure some stuff out. These calls are a snooze lately. Some of these calls are it's like one's worse than the next.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted.
It's mean when you hang up on them, but it's kind of funny too. Like you're oh no, he didn't. I'm hanging up on them
when they're a snooze.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I taking roll call here? They're calling just to let me know they exist. I know they exist.
What do you want? It's Tuesday night. Amateurs.
Well, that's not true either. We've been doing this on Tuesday night since Bill Clinton was president.
I know.
Well, thank you for your call.
Okay. Good night, Tom. Bye.
Bye. All right. I'm just going to do the... What's that? Oh, Mike's saying we have three. And look, I'll say this. Just because a woman calls doesn't mean it's not going to be a terrible call. Everybody has it in them to be a snooze. Everybody. But these guys are hitting a certain note tonight. That I can't abide by. I can't abide it. It's like they're guys who do taste tests of cough medicine or something, like cough syrup taste testers, and then they decide to call here after a hard day at the office. We'll take these calls. I'm going to spin the wheel. What am I going to spin? The wheel of crystal. And then we'll take these calls. A good spin of the wheel of crystal will cheer me up. Let's just do that. That's always for a good old-fashioned time. Make me feel good about things. Come on, play, you pile of trash. Find a computer laying underneath the snow. If this don't want it. Why won't you play? You pile of trash. You pile of trash. Oh, might help if I potted it up. That's on me. Sorry, Apple. I'd like to apologize to the child who built my laptop. It was not you. It was me. Let's go back to the drawing board here. Okay. Now will you play?
Sal was in my vocal and nasal range, and once I was doing stand-up, I studied his cadence, his attitude, and yes, his pomposity. He was an easy send-up. Finding Ali's voice was pure accident.
Okay.
Whew.
Wheel of Crystal, never disappoints. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sarah in New Orleans.
How are you, Sarah?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I'm all right.
I am calling because I run a record label, and I think you would like the stuff that we put out, and I want to send you some records.
All right.
I think they'd cheer you up.
All right.
Who doesn't like getting new records?
Who, you know what? You know who likes getting records? Me. I love records.
Let me send you some.
All right. Well, email me, if you could, Sarah, at bestshow4life@yahoo.com.
I will do that.
And I look forward to your email.
Look for it tonight. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Taylor in Denver.
Taylor in Denver. I know this, Taylor. You are the host of a show called Things...
These things matter. You almost had it.
Break? Things break? What is it?
These things matter.
And you do it with a guy... whose name I can remember. I'm going to get it. His name is Kirby.
You've almost got it, Tom.
What is it?
It's Kevin.
Kevin. Okay. And I've been on that show. It's a great show. We talked all about Led Zeppelin when I was on.
We did.
Yes. So what's going on tonight, Taylor?
I wanted to call and sympathize with you, Tom. I feel like your string of calls here this evening, I think you've just experienced what it's like to date online.
What it's like to date? Is this what it's like? You just meet guys like this all the time?
Well, you know, I know you have the greatest of hopes for all the calls. You want them to go well, of course.
I do. I do come in with the greatest of hope. That I've had people say to me, You're a pessimist, Tom. And you know what the thing is? I'm not. My curse is I'm an optimist. I see the best. I hope for the best. And too often,
that's right,
I see humanity fall depressingly short.
Well, that's the disappointment. It's so much worse when you have that hope, you know.
Exactly. Yes.
But, I mean, the gentlemen, bless their hearts, They're the equivalent of like a guy, you know, all these pictures of guys online, the online dating sites. It's like them from, you know, 50 feet away and they're on a mountain and you can't tell what they look like at all. And, you know, that's great that you get on a mountain, but, you know, that doesn't tell me anything about.
Hello. I'm not going to throw these guys under the bus. These guys are good. Whoever calls, I'll try to, I want great calls from whoever calls. That's all I want. But we're hitting a bum patch right now. I think the snow is making people logy out here or something. It's like, feels like these guys, that episode, I feel like these guys, it reminds me of that episode of Breaking Bad when Walter White was in the cabin and just kept watching Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium over and over again. Like, that's why, it's like everybody's got cabin fever now.
I mean, it's understandable. That's true. Yeah.
It's time for the winter.
We're only a week away from daylight savings time. Yeah. You've got to hang in there.
That might be what it is. I'm gonna chalk it up to this, because on the whole, it's usually just a couple bum calls, and then everybody else is all right. But this is just like, this is choppy waters. All right. Well, thank you, Taylor. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Sure.
Bye. All right. Final two calls, and there's no half hour power tonight. That'll be back. Be back soon. Not tonight. I gotta get home. Weather's terrible. Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Emma from.
Oh, sounds like somebody
from Brooklyn. Yes,
from Brooklyn.
She's my daughter.
That's all right. What's going on tonight, Emma? Are you from Sunset Park?
No, I'm not from Sunset Park.
Like that guy was pretending was a neighborhood. There's no such neighborhood.
I think that was made up.
It sounds made up, right? Sounds like the kind of thing realtors do to rip people off.
Yeah, probably.
What's going on tonight, Emma?
So I just read Marky Ramone's memoir. I was wondering if you've read it.
I have not read it yet.
Well, I wanted to tell you about a certain scene.
All right.
Okay, so basically, this kind of just happens, and it really doesn't, it doesn't seem to be, like, a part of any larger story in the book. But basically, Marky and John are just wandering around, and Marky throws a stone, like, as far as he can, and then John throws a stone, too, and it doesn't go as far, but he says that he threw his stone further than Marky, and they get into a fight about it in the book.
Oh, that's... that's the crazy... That's like... That's when it's time to not be in bands with people, or maybe to be interacting with people, even, because you're just fighting over who threw a stone farther.
Right, and it's like, why is this, like, in his book, too? You know, it happened years and years ago. It's like, I don't know how many years, 20 or 30, but he's still angry about it.
Still angry about that stone. He knows he threw it further, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He knew.
But the book's really good. You should read it.
I want to read it. I just need to learn. I'm up to S now. I just need to get those final 7 or so letters down. Then I'm going to be reading like nobody's business.
Wow.
Well, Emma, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Guys, how do you help the best show? Well, I'm going to put something new up here. How you help it? You don't call after they're pounding cough medicine. That's one way to help the best show. Another way to help the show, you go to your iTunes or whatever RSS feed you use, and you subscribe to the show, and you download the episodes. And you support any sponsors we mention on the show. We mentioned Squarespace tonight. You can, we got our box set coming out, Sharpling and Worcester box set over at numerogroup.com. It's going to be amazing. And there's one final show that still has tickets available at the Bell House, the Sharpling and Worcester live show. Thursday, March 12th, the late show. Still some tickets available for that. It's going to sell out. It's close to sell. It's well on the way. It's inevitable. Don't you miss it. Don't let this be your folly that you taunted fate by waiting to buy a ticket, and then they were all gone. Final call. Best show, you're on the air.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this? Hello? Of course this is how the show ends. Of course. Why wouldn't it end that way?
How's it going?
I'm out. We'll see you in November. Nope, no more calls. We're done, Mike. Come on, guys. You're gonna call. You gotta step it up. You gotta step it up. This might be a shorter podcast this week. That final hour might be on the cutting room floor. All right, fine. One more final spin of the Wheel of Crystal. That will make... If this spin goes well, that means next week's show, or, you know, if there's a show next week, we'll see. Again, taking it week by week. This will tell the story. Come on, be good. Here we go. Give me something good.
making lewd remarks to Helen Slater's character. He would rope the dude around the neck, and then Jack would enter the corral and confront him and me, which would start our relationship.
Jack Palance story. Not a bad way to go out. Everyone, the best show is over. Listen to this record by The Dentists. It's a reissue put out by... Wow, we're going heavy on Trouble in Mind tonight. A Trouble in Mind record label fest here on The Best Show. They reissued a single by The Dentists. And we're going to hear Burning the Thoughts from My Skin here on W... No, not a... What? I can't believe I said that. Not there anymore. Here on thebestshow.net. Here are The Dentists. We'll see you later. Goodbye, everybody.